One, Adam. Good morning, Teresa Strasser.
Good morning, Adam Carolla.
Good morning, Danny Bonaducci.
Morning, Adam Carolla, Teresa Strasser, Big O'Brien.
Well, let's see. A couple thoughts. I realized over the last couple days that my young son, Sonny, has the need for speed. We were talking about this being a genetic thing. No, I mean in an acceleration, not coursing through his veins. I don't mean in terms of pharmaceuticals.
I gotta move on with my life.
I was saying, everyone goes, well, it's great to have people say, oh, girls, so difficult. And I say, yeah, but here's the problem with boys. If they have the stuntman gene, you're screwed. Because I had the stuntman gene growing up, and it meant I would get up on every roof I could find and see if I could make it to the pool that was a couple stories down below. And I would go insane if my kid is trying to jump off apartment building roofs and see if they could hit pools in adjacent apartment buildings, not the apartment building roof that they're on.
Right.
I was doing that crap when I was in the fifth grade, and I was going nuts on, the BMX bike and the skateboard and later on motorcycles and all that crap. And I just like to go fast. And I thought every guy I knew growing up in North Hollywood, with the exception of Ray, by the way, coincidentally, Ray never liked cars and he never liked going fast. Everything else he did was insane, but he was almost scared to drive. He was like an athlete. Sometimes these athletes, these guys would be professional prize fighters for a living, but they get behind the wheel of a car and they drive slower than your average guy. Like, I don't imagine Evander Holyfield hot rods his car around. I bet you he drives like a nervous mother. Well, I don't know why, but athletes always do that.
Because they can't get hurt, I think, is a lot of it. Because it's weird that I thought of this last night.
Yeah, but I don't think guys should. Well, here's why. Because the guys who drive crazy, they don't think they're going to get hurt either. They get hurt.
Right.
The rock stars and stuff like that, the people that really, all my friends, other than Ray, who drove like maniacs, weren't planning on getting hurt. It's just eventually something happened. But you have the hot rod gene if you're a guy. A lot of guys do. And I keep thinking, if my son has the hot rod gene, I'm not going to be able to sleep at night. Because when I got my license, I got my dad's 75 Volkswagen Rabbit. I put my buddy Chris in it, and we headed over to Chandler where the train tracks were because I thought we could catch some air. I thought if I hit the train tracks fast enough, we'd get all four tires off the ground. This was my plan. I'd been planning on it for a while. I just hadn't had my license. And a few years later, when I got one, and I said to him, hang on, Starsky, was my last words to him before we hit these tracks at 65 over on Chandler and got my dad's VW launched into the air. Now, either you have that gene or you don't.
Right.
Because now all the new guys I've met are essentially pusses.
Right.
All with the exception of Bonaducci. Bald Brian, just because he's in the room. But all the guys I've met since I got into television drive horribly, drive slowly. When I talk to them about, why do you drive so slowly? Would you get a bunch of exhibition of speed tickets in high school? It's like, no, I always drive this way. It's like, yeah, but didn't you go nuts? Weren't you doing Brody's in the parking lot when it was raining and stuff when you're in high school? No.
Yeah, but they take their chances when it comes to fantasy football.
Yes, they get all their thrills out in rotisserie baseball league. So I realize, well, not every guy has the hot rod thrill gene.
Yeah.
Maybe just the lion's share of the idiots I grew up with. But now I've met a whole bunch of new idiots, and they drive slowly and horribly, by the way. So I said, well, this will show itself pretty early with my son.
Yeah.
And he's interested in wheels and things that turn. And he'll go right for the wheel. If there's a shopping cart or something, he'll drop down on his knees and just start turning the wheel that's on the ground. He got a car the other day. It's a stupid plastic car. Same thing. You just sit in it. It's about 3 foot long and 2 foot wide.
Is it red on the bottom, yellow on the top?
Yeah, it's red and yellow. I can't remember what the combo is.
Yeah,
everything,
that's the combo.
Everything is red and yellow when you're two and or it's made for two-year-olds. And he just sits right in the thing, has a little fake steering wheel. It's not hooked up to anything. But it's enough for him to put his feet up and sort of sit there like he's in a little car. And this one has a stick on the back of it, or a rise thing. It's got a little handle on it, so I'm able to push him in a circle.
By the way, one of the greatest inventions in playing with your kid in cars.
The handle.
The handle.
Absolutely.
They didn't have that, man. The back... You're bent over. That's a genius invention, whoever came up with that.
It is one of these things so simple yet so effective. Yes, we have another car where you're essentially just, you're sort of essentially have to perform oral on yourself in order to get into the standing oral, in order to get into the position to push the guy in the car.
You're the St. Louis Arch to be in the right position to push your kid in the car.
Right. Yes. And after about 4 or 5 steps, daddy's back starts hurting. And so you grab this stick. And I'm pushing him in a circle on the patio. And the faster I push him, the more he sort of howls. He's having the time of his life. And we go in 5 circles. And then daddy gets tired and stops. And Sonny starts crying. Oh. And he sits in there. And he starts turning the steering wheel back and forth. And he wants to go again. So now I'm going to go again. And I'm going to see how fast I can go before he starts getting freaked out a little bit. He's 13 months old. He's not getting freaked out. And now we're at the point where daddy is going around the swimming pool and he's in a full sprint down the straightaway. Right. I'm running full. I'm wearing running shoes and shorts. I'm going full sprint, turning the corner, kind of sliding, and then full sprint again. And he's just howling and doing it. And as soon as I stop, he's back on the wheel, turning it and crying. He's literally crying, just sitting in the car. He's not going anywhere. I said, I'm going into the house. He's not moving. He's just sitting in the car. And, then I do a little experiment. I put the girl in there.
Right.
See how she's going to react. Yeah. Her feet are out. His feet are up and in the car, and he hangs onto the steering wheel. She sits there like you just sat her anywhere.
Right.
She is not interested in the rolling part. And you roll around, and she gets a smile, but her feet are out, her hands are out, she's not hanging. And when you're done, she gets up and leaves. She doesn't sit there screaming for more. So he's 13 months, and he loves the sensation of going fast on something that has 4 wheels. There's going to be trouble.
It won't stop there.
It can't stop there unless, I just thought of this.
What?
There's a horrible fiery accident where he barely, cheats death, kind of thing. I mean, maybe that would be enough to turn him around. You know, like getting bit by a dog when you're, got to get him bit by a dog, too, so he doesn't want another dog after Molly goes. Yeah, there are little things like that. Yeah, you get bit by a dog when you're a kid. You don't like dogs anymore. You don't want any dogs near you.
Right. You've got a reasonably good theory. I not only do I have a hole in it for you, and I'm sorry, but I actually am the hole in your theory.
Well, let's hear it.
Name a quadrant of my body that I don't have steel or titanium.
But, true, but... What if you had gotten to a horrible accident on some sort of toy Harley when you were 2? See what I'm saying?
Yeah,
that's my point.
Not the last bike last year from this plate.
Yes. Not when you're an adult.
Okay.
Yeah, because here's what it's like. It's like that thing where you blow a bunch of cigarette smoke in your kid's face till he vomits and he never wants to be around cigarettes. That doesn't work after you've been smoking for 10 years.
Right. You have to do it at the
beginning. Almost one of those genius replies I keep hearing about.
Here's the thing.
Got a point.
You're talking about inoculating.
I'm going to make you smoke a whole pack of cigarettes, Danny. Okay, now?
Just one?
You're talking about inoculating the little one with a little bit of something bad.
So I'm saying I cut the brake lines.
No, he's saying fiery accident.
I'm saying
I'll be apologizing for just that comment around 9:30.
Scarred.
Well, anyway, he's got the need for speed, and daddy's wearing himself out. Yeah.
Turns into the need to jump.
Mm-hmm.
It'll turn to the need to run really fast and not have an idea where his head level is in contact with coffee tables and dining room tables. That will turn to the leaping, and the leaping will turn to distance. Mm-hmm. It'll start with you. Mm-hmm. Back up further, Daddy. Back up further till you're at a ridiculous distance from the kid. Mm-hmm. And he'll run from his bed and leap, and you'll barely make it. And then he'll start jumping when you're not around. He'll put out his mattresses, his pillows, and he'll push them further and further away.
Yes.
The jumping thing is when it scares me.
This is the scary part about having a son.
Yep.
You should hope that your son
is gay.
Nobody wants bald Brian for a son, but you do want half a puss. You know what I mean? You don't want puss and a half like Brian. I mean, it'd be, just you know, half. Yeah, that's the problem is you want a guy who's not scared to stand up for himself if there's a right. scrap. Oh, you want a guy who does well with the ladies.
Yeah.
You want a guy who's on the teams at high school playing yeah. sports. You want a guy with a full head of flowing, beautiful locks. You want all these things.
One that can throw a ball.
You want to be able to throw a ball and not cry after he attempts to throw the ball. You want all these things. in your son. You really do. Right,
yeah.
The problem is all those things come with the, I'm going to jump on the motorcycle and go on the beer run. I'm not wearing a helmet. It's raining. The liquor store is only a couple miles away. Disaster.
Right.
That's what that comes with versus the introverted, nerdy, I'm going to stay at home. I'm going to meet Uncle Patton Oswalt for a little D&D action this weekend. That guy does not do that. I mean,
no.
I was really shocked when I met. I never knew any of those guys. Every guy I knew was a horrible student, idiot from the Valley
right.
who just sort of let their fists do their talking. I mean, they weren't hooligans or thugs. They were just physical guys.
No,
they liked it.
They're 4 years younger than my friends from the same spot.
Yeah.
From the same school.
They're just idiots. And nice enough guys, just never picked up a pad and pencil and wrote down an idea in their entire life. Didn't even know why one would do that. When I first started doing comedy or improv or something, they just made fun of me. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
I don't understand. We should be out fighting or partying or something. What are you doing? Then I met a whole new group of guys in show business and had no idea that these guys are chicks. I mean, they drive slower than the speed limit, a lot of these guys. I can't even drive with them. It frustrates me. I'm like, speed up, get going. And then if that car ever breaks down, they can't change the tire. And if a guy honks on them behind and makes a fist, they're like, oh, goodness, roll the windows up. We got to head to the police station. And I'm like, I didn't know you guys existed.
Right.
These are the guys who did their homework, who minded their dad when the dad said they were going to get into trouble, who went off to college. Like, I didn't know there were those guys.
Right.
I sort of make fun of them now, but on the other hand, I hope my kid is one of those guys and not one of my guys, because my guys, half of them should be dead and some of them are.
Some of them are. I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of guys bought it. I'll give you a quick little example. Three brothers, I won't use their last name, but three brothers who live just a few houses away, more just Valley dudes. Let's see, Chris, Sean, and Jesse, all just a basic trouble brothers, you know, not bad guys. I guess you should picture the Baldwin brothers in a certain way, minus the talent.
Right.
Just sort of young guys that like to fight and get into trouble, but also are charismatic enough to have girlfriends and con a few teachers into a few things.
They're not fighting with guns and knives like you
heard
about today.
Right.
They're getting in brawls, and the loser usually ends up getting bought a beer.
Chris was my best friend out of the group. Well, Jesse, Chris, and Sean, Jesse bought it at 19. Car crash, maybe some substances involved with that one. And Chris bought it at 26. And ironically, the only one that's still around is Sean, the big scariest of all the big Viking of the three.
Right.
They're all three pretty out of control, but the biggest out of control one still doing, working and doing fine. Kind of a biker lifestyle, but you know what I'm saying. That's two out of three brothers, and they live just down the street. Tons of motorcycle stuff, tons of OD drug stuff, tons of just bizarre, you know, girlfriend shot him kind of stuff. Crazy stuff. I mean, this is what the thrill-seeking gene will get you. You want your guy to be a man's man, but you don't understand the flip side of the man's man stuff is
that's
cracking your head drunk when you're up on the roof, loaded, going, everyone look at me, and you miss the pool.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, I think what you want basically is a combination. You want, or middle ground. There's the me guy that says, you know what, it's raining, but it's only drizzling. The motorcycle's running fine, and the liquor store's only three blocks away. I'm going to make it. Disaster.
Right.
And the other guy is, it's going out. I'm not going. I'm going to turn on TV and sit here and play a little D&D. And you don't really want that either. You want the guy that grabs the key to the bike and says, it's raining down a little bit. I'm going to go to the liquor store. It's only 3 blocks away. Goes out to the bike, says, nah, too slippery. You could get killed. But walks to the liquor store anyway.
Huh. Yes. And gets hit by a drunk driver on the way home.
Okay, don't go there. You gotta let him walk.
I'm with you. No, I know, and it's hard. And eventually, you'll go from that guy to this guy, meaning the guy I am now. But you have to live. You have to make it to 25 or 30 before you sort of cool your jets. Somewhere at some point, somewhere around your mid-20s, your later 20s, you go, you know what? I think I'm going to sell the motorcycle and get a mini pickup truck instead. And I think next time someone cuts me off on the road, I'm not going to chase after them and try to threaten them. I'm just going to let them go. Maybe they have a gun in their car. All right, you guys, got people calling in on this. I want to talk to you. But here's a bigger question.
Yeah.
I feel like my family did a piss-poor job of this. I'm not sure how Danny feels about his family, about you. You feel about your family, Teresa. But what is your kid good at? When did they start showing it? What are you good at? When did you start showing it? How is it nurtured or ignored? You know what I mean? A kid will let you know what that kid wants to do pretty early on. If the kid is going to be an architect, they'll say, oh, we got him a set of building blocks. And that kid was building skyscrapers at three. Every drummer has one of those stories. He picked up a pot and a pan and a spoon. He started, so we bought him a drum kit when he was nine.
Okay.
And he never got it right. Kids will let you know very early what they're into. Board Op Bill, he swallowed an entire mop handle when he was 3 years of age. Actually, like a sword, took the whole. And his dad knew at that time that it was time to change the last name.
He nurtured.
The point is you will show what you're good at early and often. Will your parents see it or ignore it? You guys tell me what yours is. We'll tell you ours and how our folks did. And then I want to know about your kids, because I think you just watch your kids. You don't force them into anything. You just watch them, and they'll gravitate towards something. 866-901-ADAM. We'll be back with that next.
Good morning and welcome to the Adam Carolla Show with Danny Bonaducci and Teresa Strasser. Here's what's on deck this morning with our program director, Jack Silver.
Access denied. Account deactivated. What the... Oh, hey, peeps, sorry about that. Jack Man's having a little trouble logging into his MySpace account. Today we got ESPN Sports Center anchor Kenny Mayne, a recap of last night's episode of To Catch a Predator, and we'll play Nicaragua Name That Tune. If you can guess what songs Ozzy's singing, you'll win tickets to see Lynyrd Skynyrd. And hey, when you're there, keep an eye out for the Jack Man. I'll be in the lawn section, smoking a doobie and asking, what's your name, little girl? In other words, just a typical Friday night.
Thank you, Jack. Phone numbers 866-901-ADAM. Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser on the Adam Carolla Show.
So we were talking about a subject that I often bring up, something I'm borderline obsessed with, which is finding out what your kid is into, and for that matter, what you're into early, and then pursuing it, because life can be this great journey, or it can be a long and frustrating whatever. I mean, you can look, if you're a physical person and we put you in an accountant's office, you will be miserable.
Right.
Yeah. If you're a gearhead, if you're somebody that just likes building and fabricating and putting things together, and we put you over at, let's just call it Hoffman Travel on Ventura Boulevard with 32 postmenopausal Yentls sitting there, and you have to sit there and answer their goddamn phones. It felt, when I had that job, I would stare at the clock, felt like it was moving backwards, versus when I was a boxing instructor. I loved it. I worked with people. I taught my class. Whatever it was, that's what I should have been doing. Thus, not work. Thus, happy to do it versus miserable. Do you want a life of that, A, or a life of B? Well, the difference between A and B is figuring out what your A is or what your B is and doing it. And part of that responsibility falls on the shoulders of your family, your counselors, your teachers, things like that. I'm determined to figure out what my kids are into, if they're into anything. Right. Sometimes you're not. And then facilitating it, not handing it to them. But
did you say exactly what you meant there?
Not sure.
You're into figuring out what they're into and then facilitating it. And I thought in the beginning of this, you were into watching them figure out what they were into.
I should say reading what they're into.
Okay. I was gonna make sure, because as a parent, just so you know, I am completely with you, so wanted to stay with you.
Yeah.
Exactly.
No.
Because if I pushed my kids into anything, you know what I mean? If I said, this is the direction I want you to go, first of all, you get rebellion.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, I'm not real useful in that area. You know what I mean? I don't want to try and make them do something that I have no aptitude for.
You wait for it to
I
want to
watch them show themselves. Yes.
Right.
Did you guys see this little kid on Real Sports, Brian Gumbel's show? He was 3 years old.
The golfer?
Yes.
Yes.
And he just picked up the remote control and used it as a golf club and had a perfect swing. The parents never played golf.
Right.
And here was this kid.
They were in the military, and he was just in a hotel room, and he watched golf, and he just started mimicking it. And yeah, I always use, like we say, the drum kit.
Right.
Whenever they do these behind the musics or something and they're talking about Tommy Lee, his parents will tell you when he's three, he just picked up a wooden spoon, started pounding on a thing with it. And then you think, good, they got him a drum kit. Now, my folks wouldn't have gotten the drum kit. Right. That would have been the problem.
They wouldn't have gotten you the spoon.
You need to be the kind of folks that get the goddamn drum kit for your kid, because that's how the kid is going to make a living. And could you imagine Tommy Lee being a school teacher, being an accountant, being an attorney? I mean, could you imagine, you know, you have a 17-year-old Tommy Lee and somebody saying, you have to study harder. You've got to buckle down, son. You better learn how to conjugate a verb.
Yeah.
You better start studying for this SATs. Well, you think, you look at Tommy Lee now and you go, oh, what a waste of time.
Yeah.
There's no way this guy was ever. Now, what he would have been, minus the drum kit, is a guy who dropped out of high school because he couldn't play the drums in the high school.
Sure.
A lot of athletes do this. He would have just dropped out. He would have got some crappy job. And then oftentimes the addiction gene kicks in because you're working in a job that makes you so miserable, you just want to medicate yourself.
Absolutely. I understand completely. Can you imagine Tommy Lee what he'd be without a drum kit? It would just be, what a waste. But although when you said, you know, you got a conjugate verb, I'm thinking he did get famous for dangling his participle.
That's true.
Yeah, that was quite a participle to dangle. And everybody knows it. I'd be proud of my boy with
anyone
that
can steer a houseboat with his honker.
I would totally say that's my boy.
Well, you guys, I don't have kids, but I would think something so tempting would be to project your dreams and desires onto the kid so that you're in the stands at the Little League game just hoping that your kid is good at that sport or what you wanted to be good at. I know my parents, well, my mom forced me to take ballet for almost 12 years because that's what she wanted to do, and I wasn't good at it ever.
Mm-hmm.
But it was her dream, and then she realized it was never going to
happen. Are you glad you did it?
In some ways, because it kept me off the streets. I mean, I was in the city, and if I didn't show up at ballet class, they would call and tell my mom where I was from 4 to 7.
Mm-hmm. So there's a structure part of it that you liked.
Yeah, and I've good posture.
So the likelihood of me projecting my hopes and dreams kind of implies that I have some, so they're going to be fine.
Oh, come on. You want your kids to be readers.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And if they're not good at reading, that's going to be painful.
No, because I know ways around it, because I'm dyslexic. I know a way to get the information on anything, on any subject, without being able to read well.
Well, let me pop Shane up for a second, who says his dad, speaking of Bonaducci, or he passed on the ass-kicking gene to his sons.
What a drag.
Shane?
Yeah.
What's your story?
Well, okay, when I was younger, I started in the martial arts when I was about 8 years old, right?
Mm-hmm.
And my mom she's a teacher. God bless her heart. She did the best she could with what she had. But she was always college, college, college. You want a good job, go to school, be articulate, learn something. You know, old school. I mean, just the way she was raised. And, you know, that was her path, but not necessarily mine. I wanted to be an actor and get into Hollywood. And she said, oh, well, it's very competitive. You shouldn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and granted, she was right. And she was trying to save me some heartache. However, you know, I studied, you know, kept on continuing with the martial arts, ended up teaching, you know, and kind of thinking that, I'm sorry.
It's all right.
It's the truth whistle or something like
that. No, Shane, you're doing very well.
Yeah.
All right, well, I got the howl and I was disappointed. I'm sorry.
No, that was the flute. That was the martial arts flute.
Oh, that was the flute. I thought it was a howl.
Brian, can you make him feel better with some applause or something? Now you've made him insecure. No.
There you go. right, so Rob, you're teaching martial arts.
Remember, Mr. Dungeons and Dragons, you're talking to a martial arts instructor
right.
on the phone.
He can kick you
probably
from
figures
Seattle.
Out where this radio station is if he had to.
Well, Shane, it sounds like your natural abilities were not in line with your mom's dreams for you.
No, certainly not. And so my son, this is where I recognized the ass-kicking gene. And I hadn't, he was about maybe 18 months, and I hadn't taught him a thing. Of course, when he was in his mom's womb, I'm sitting there saying, you know, practice your kicks on your mom's spine.
Sure.
Joking with
him. We all did that. Yeah. Yeah. But so, he's 18 months.
Yeah, we were watching a Jet Li movie, Kiss of the Dragon, and then at the very end, the very last fight scene, the big dramatic climactic end, and all of a sudden he starts mimicking the kicks, and
right.
he's got flawless form, and I'm like, Jesus Christ, you know, I hadn't shown him a thing at that point, so you know, it's escalated to the point where he's what the cool thing is, it's come full circle. My instructors are now teaching him.
How old is he now?
He's 4 and a half now.
Mm-hmm. And he's already into it.
Yeah, and he's doing very well. I mean, aside from the fact that he has a hard time paying attention, but who does?
Yeah, well, 4 and a half. Thanks, Shane.
I've forgotten what we're talking about.
It's one of these, I think we're talking about the pan flute, but I can't remember.
So.
The thing about these genes is, well, some nature, some nurture.
Yeah.
Now, it's weird because I had tons, and then there are people that don't have interests.
There are. Mm-hmm.
They're called the Corollas.
Oh, I'm glad I didn't finish my thought on that.
That's
then.
Like my wife doesn't really have, you know, interests. Her interests are like, you know, there's a lot of women that's like, what do you know, you say to someone, what are your hobbies? And they go, I like to talk to my friends. And you're like, everyone likes to talk to their friends. What else do you like to do? I just like when we go out. I like to go out and have lunch with them.
The ladies and lunch.
Eat lunch and talk. And yes, I enjoy that. Everyone enjoys that. I'm not saying, what do you do on a Tuesday? I'm saying, what are your hobbies? And they go, I like to read like a lot of magazines. I read magazines. It's like, okay, you have no, just say you have.
If you have to explain the word hobby.
You
they
have,
don't have
right.
It.
You have no hobbies. And in a way, those people are blessed in a certain sense because I grew up, I had a few things I was interested in. I was interested in, that didn't come for a few years, but.
Is that a hobby or a pastime?
And it became a passion. At a certain point, I dropped everything. But
except one thing. I didn't let go of that until I was about 28 either.
As I look back, and I think you guys can all look back, you know, where were you when you were 5 or 9 or 12? What were you gravitating mm-hmm. toward or pulling toward? For me,
my first million.
It was, my God.
Still waiting.
For me, it was talking. I like jokes. I like comedy. I like the interaction. I wanted to know why.
Yeah.
You know, you couldn't take me to a movie because I'd be like, oh, that's so fake. Oh, why did he say that? I don't understand why they did that. Why did they do that? You know, I wanted to sort of break down the game film of life.
Right.
Yeah. Much like we're doing today and all making a living at it. But back then it was not really considered a blessing. So I wanted to
Is
talk.
This a living?
I wanted to back and the forth. Other thing I wanted was sports. I wanted to wrestle. I wanted to play football. I wanted like contact sports, you know,
right.
Throw something, catch something, swing a bat, you know, very that much. And then the third one was I wanted to build. I wanted a mini bike, a go-kart. I wanted a wrench. The whole thing, as we've talked about many times, the gearhead gene, it's in you, man.
Right.
I mean, you either walk by an old vintage Ferrari and stand there and stare at it like you want to hump the exhaust pipe, or you just keep walking. And someone goes, hey, what about that Ferrari? And you go, huh? And you go, you just passed by a red 1966 GTO. And they go, oh, I didn't. I guess all right. And then they keep walking.
See, I have one gear. There's a Ferrari in my new parking lot. I live in, like, corporate apartments that are really expensive. And, God, that sucks, by the way.
Yes.
And there's a Ferrari, brand new convertible. And I stopped. I pointed it out to Amy. And look at that. God, it's a piece of artwork. And then I walked away. I don't know the model.
Mm-hmm.
And if anything broke on it, I couldn't fix it. I just know I want it, and I want to drive it as fast as possible till it blows
up. At least you're somewhere in between those two guys. Well, I had the gearhead, I had the sports thing, and I had the gabbing thing all down. Now, that was fine, except for the Corollas didn't talk, certainly not to one another, but almost to anybody. They hated sports. They looked at it as sort of football. My grandmother would tell me sort of homoerotic.
Right.
Big macho he-men patting each other on the bottom. Thanks for the bizarre and twisted message for the 9-year-old who loves football, Granny. It's fantastic. Not only didn't care for sports, didn't like sports, and made no bones about it. My parents and grandparents and my family members did not like football. They thought it was aggressive and competitive. They were champions of the nerds. They didn't like the fact that there were little guys that were getting smashed by bigger guys.
Sure.
And they were super liberal, sort of hippie progressives that don't like competition, and they don't like physical competition for sure. They don't like boxing and things like that.
Are those the people that have put an end to actually winning games by people under 7 years old?
My family would love there to be no winners and no losers, and I'm not going to tell you which ones they would be if there were winners and losers, but just understand that everyone is saying, why do they have to give a trophy out for first place? Are not at the top of the podium holding the first place trophy.
Yeah, exactly.
They're the pusses that are getting their ass kicked by the guy who should get the first place trophy, but they don't want any competition. Of course, when I was in high school, I didn't want grades handed out. Why? Because I was getting D's and F's and everything. Of course, when you don't do well, like when you're a horrible employee, you don't want employee evaluations.
Right.
When you're doing great as an employee, you want the employee evaluation so you can move up.
Yep.
You deserve it. You've been busting your ass for the last 2 years, and you want a promotion. The guy's been sitting around playing fantasy football in his cubicle and masturbating in the bathroom, doesn't want the evaluation.
Yeah.
Well, what's fair? That you two just stay on the same level the entire time while you bust your ass?
Absolutely not. I was offered.
Of course not.
At the same time I was offered this job, I was offered a job on Sirius. And one of their last selling points to get me to come there was, and there's really no ratings. We can't really tell how you're doing.
Yeah.
So your pay is your pay as long as your contract lasts. You really don't even have to worry about ratings.
Really?
And that's what, And that's where they lost me.
Still have their number?
Yep, I do. I may have changed my tune. But my tune at that point was, I want to know who I'm beating and taunt them.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to know who's beating me and go after them tooth and nail.
Let me see if I can fill that in. a tranny is who you're beating.
Right.
And cops
beating,
from Arizona are who are beating you, Danny.
Well,
how many times do you have to go over this one?
Why didn't somebody explain that to me sooner? I had a really good job.
So figure out what your kid is into and give them to it. My parents hated sports. My parents hated talking to anyone in the family. And as far as the gearhead stuff goes, my dad does not own a Crescent Wrench and still doesn't. I don't know how else to put it. My dad is the biggest puss alive. You'll not meet a less manly guy. Ironically, maybe Tom Likas is the only less manly guy than my dad. But my dad does not know the difference between a flathead screwdriver and a Phillips head screwdriver.
That can't be true. I know immediately.
I don't know that he would know. And if you said which one is which and you labeled them both, I don't know that he could point at each one and know what it is. And if you showed him an Allen wrench, his head would explode. He knows nothing. He never had a garage. He doesn't own a tool. It's not like he's not handy. It's like saying this guy isn't a good athlete. I'm saying my dad's in a wheelchair. I'm not saying he's not a good athlete. Oh, he got cut from the junior varsity team in the 10th grade. I'm talking about Stephen Hawking.
Okay.
I'm talking about blowing into a tube and rolling out onto the football field in a mascot outfit. I'm not talking about not handy.
Okay, gotcha. I'm with you.
Danny, you're not handy.
Right.
My dad is handy, not capable. You understand?
Okay.
He
can't
physically do a goddamn thing, doesn't claim to, and has never tried.
Right.
Don't get me started on my mom. They didn't have a tool, a garage, anything. There were no mini bikes. There was nothing. So essentially, then you have a somewhat tortured life because the things that you're most into cannot be realized at home.
Right.
Yeah.
So if you're Tommy Lee and you want that pot and pan, you want that drum kit to play and you never get it, then how good is your childhood going to be? Now, you'll go out and try to find it. You'll borrow someone else's drum kit. You'll do it at school. You'll do what you can. But it'll never quite be the same as you coming home to that drum kit. Elaine has a... Are you guys hearing some...
Yeah. Almost sounds like a phone conversation in the background.
Yeah, maybe we can work on that, Bald Brian. Hey, Elaine.
Yeah, Adam. Hi, Danny. Hi, Teresa.
What's happening, Elaine?
Well, this is what the OCD came from, my mom. She would be up at midnight picking sesame seeds off the kitchen floor with a wet finger saying, I've had to go to the bathroom since 10 this morning, but I just got to get this mess cleaned up. Mm-hmm. At the 8:03, I was putting my toys in alphabetical order, straightening family parties. What I do?
Sure, and you see little kids acting out some obsessive compulsive behaviors. Real little kids.
Bob, Teresa, for a librarian, everything in its place.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So what did you become, and how did you control it?
Well, I was always cleaning my friends' rooms, organizing my dad's tools.
Damn.
Decided to go to library school because I knew I had pretty much smarts.
Is that the place where they hide the books?
Yeah.
Where they hide them. USC grad school. Graduated and became a librarian. My dad was getting married.
So you took whatever this... you took your lemon and made it into lemonade.
It suits your skill set.
That's it. All that college for nothing.
See, yeah, that's what I heard. I heard that you took your lemon and made it into lemons.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I heard she spent...
I'm still cleaning friends' garages out.
Hey, there you go.
You should go to lunch with my wife.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, spit in her mouth. Would you? Perhaps we could pass this on.
Hey,
really? You wish she had OCD?
Let's just put it this way. Elaine's mom was picking up caraway seeds on the kitchen floor until midnight. My wife, you could take a full pot of chili and dump it in the entry hall, and she would step over it for a couple of months until I said, who's going to clean up this goddamn chili? And then her answer would be, what chili?
I like your wife.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's awesome. All right, let's see. One more. So, T.
Yeah.
You had the...
Oh, I'll tell you what I...
What gene, but were forced to get into a tutu.
Yeah, I was forced into a tutu. All I wanted... I was able to read really young, and all I wanted to do was read. I didn't want to go outside. I didn't want to play. When other kids were playing, I wanted to read. I just wanted to read
books.
See,
now that's a weird one, because all the stuff that I wanted to do involved going outside and interacting with other people.
I didn't like other people.
Wrestling them, albeit, but interacting with other people. So it wasn't one of those things where I was just cooped up in my room. Now, I don't know if my kid just wants to read. I may force them to go take ballet lessons because I got to say, you got to get outside. You got to be around other people. You have to interact socially. Danny, you started acting very young. Was it, obviously, your folks have to drive you to auditions things like that.
Yeah.
But did you want to do it?
I don't remember any time not doing it. So by the time I was cognizant of really wanting to do it, I was already very, very famous and realized the comfort and ease fame can get you.
Right.
So I don't know that I, as a matter of fact, I've got an audition on Friday, but my agent sent me a thing for Nip Tuck, and I wrote back and said, I hate acting. It takes all day, and you know, you do two things. I don't like it.
Yes.
So I don't think I have the acting bug after all, but it took me just shy of 50 years to figure that out.
That's interesting. Because
I've just done it my whole life. I think what I did with my daughter is she was she's a very emotional young girl and very involved in all sorts of different things, but she doesn't like people because she thinks she's different and she doesn't fit in.
Mm-hmm.
One day I just sat her down and I said, that's daddy's job and I'm good at it. And she said, what? I said, being different from other people and being able to express it well, thinking differently from other folks and being able to, whether they agree with me or not, put my dysfunction, or in certain cases that I am right, into a decent sentence.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I do for a living. Mm-hmm. I said, you should embrace that you're not like other people. If you're too much like too many other people, you equal the word average.
Show her Edward Scissorhands.
Yeah.
I believe she's seen it.
Because I feel like that would be a good tale for anyone who feels like they don't fit in and don't belong. Jesse wants to know, I don't know where that came from. Jesse wants to know about, what about my daughter? I keep talking about my son. Hey, Jesse.
How you doing, guys?
Yeah, good, she don't have the need for speed, so I'm not exactly sure what her capacities or strengths or weaknesses are yet.
My daughter is 10 years old,
mm-hmm.
and all my buddies have boys.
Mm-hmm.
When she was six, all my buddies decided to buy their boys dirt bikes.
Mm-hmm.
So I bought her one.
Mm-hmm.
Now the boys are trying to catch my daughter because she excelled in it rapidly in like a year, and I've got three trophies sitting on in the living room there, podiums from races.
Mm-hmm.
She's won in dirt bike.
What's she? Is she riding one of those KTM 50s or an XR 75?
She started out on an CRS 70,
mm-hmm.
and now she races KLX 110s, which is a Kawasaki four-stroke 110.
That's pretty big bike for a young girl.
Wow.
They actually make them pretty small, so it's more of a look of a 70, but it's actually a 110 engine.
A little bigger stroke and bore there.
Right.
Well, God bless you. But then it turns into this thing with anything like this, like what happens when the kid just keeps going?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, one day, 5 years from now, she's like, hey, Dad, I'm thinking about dropping out of the ninth grade, and I want to go to Europe, and I want to really pursue my racing. You know what I mean? Like, what do you do at that point?
I embrace everything she wants to do, but there's also guidance and guidelines to everything. You can't go through life and just expect to do whatever you want, because that doesn't happen in real life.
But I know, but you hear so much about, then you turn on the E! True Hollywood Story, or the whatever profile is, and you hear the thing about, at age 14, Danica Patrick told her father that she wanted to race go-karts full-time, and the only way to be able to move to the next whatever is to move to Europe and race Formula Atlantic cars at age 16 or something. So her family, against the wishes of her parents, they let her move to. And I'd be thinking, if Danica Patrick was my daughter, she'd be stripping right now at Bob's Classy Lady in Van Nuys, because I would have put the kibosh on her move to Europe immediately when she was 16, and that would have been that. She'd be strung out on drugs and not racing Indy cars at this point. That should be in Van Nuys at Bob's Classy Lady. All right, we need to take ourselves a break, because I feel like I could go on all day about this particular topic. When we come back, a little shift of gears. Angel Adam, Devil Danny.
Yeah!
You know the game, kiddies. You call up. You give us your dilemma. Thinking about cheating on a test. Thinking about cheating on your wife. Whatever it is. Whatever life throws at you, whatever crossroads you're at, you call us. We'll give you the right and the left. You're at the fork. I will tell you how to get that fork out of your back, and Danny will tell you to fork yourself. That's the fork in the road, everybody.
You will fork everybody you wish to fork and feel fine about it.
That's right. Angel Adam, Devil Danny, 866-901-ADAM next.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show. Do you have a moral issue that you could go either way on, but you need a little more advice, right?
I do construction, and boss man smokes a whole bunch of weed.
Talk to Angel Adam.
He could hurt himself on the construction site.
And Devil Danny.
You let him injure you!
Call 866-901-ADAM. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, let's get right to it. 866-901-ADAM. Your dilemmas, Angel Adam. Devil Danny.
Got a moral dilemma? Ask Angel Adam.
Do not cheat in wedlock. It will haunt you.
Or Devil Danny.
Climbing over their corpses to the top of the food chain.
Let's begin with Chris on line. Well, looks to me line 3.5 here.
This one.
4. Chris?
Hey, what's up, Adam?
What's happening, my brother? What's the dilemma?
Oh, man. Okay, so as of lately, I've been noticing a lot. My girlfriend now, she's more like the Paris Hilton shoppy girly type, and I'm more like the Danny Bonaducci type.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, I know. See, Danny's loving it and whatnot, just because, I mean, the fact of maybe nailing the Paris Hilton, something like that. Yeah, Danny?
Yeah, I'm with you 100% so far, but this is Angel Adam time.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Okay, so anyways, yeah, and now the ex-girlfriend's come into the picture. Her and I had been, the ex-girlfriend and I had been dating for 4 years until we broke up, you know, last year and stuff, and we kind of went our both ways and stuff. And, now she's back in the picture and juggling two different people, and now, you know.
Does she know how boring the picture is, Chris? I feel like she wouldn't want to get back into the picture if she knew just how boring the picture was.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, and so it's like, I don't really know what to do now. I mean, do I continue going? I mean, maybe tough it out with the girlfriend now or break away and then kind of open up the horizons and then maybe see what's happening with the ex-girlfriend. I mean, what's...
Hold on. We have the curator at the museum where the picture is hanging. He's fallen asleep. We had him on line 6. We have to wake him up, Teddy.
All I got was he was juggling multiple women. I'm thinking, incredible upper body strength.
Yes. Chris?
Yes.
Let me see if we can figure this out and put it in the form of a question.
Okay. Or in the form of English, for that matter.
You have a current girlfriend. She's not exactly your type. But you're still with her. You have an old girlfriend who's come back into the picture, and you want to know whether to hook up with the old girlfriend again.
Right, who's more like my type.
That, just the old girlfriend. You want to know whether to hook up with her again, right?
Right.
All right, so new and old, but you haven't done anything yet.
Not yet.
All right, hang on a second. Well, young Chris. Chris. Short for Christopher. Christopher, short for Christopher? Christ-like. That's right. Christmas?
Christ-like.
Christ-like. There you go. Christ-like. Hell of an automobile my dad used to drive one. He had a LeBaron. I think it was an 87. Point is...
I think that's one of my kids' names.
Point is, you must act more Christ-like. Ironically, your name is Christ-like, but yet you do not act that way. Now... I know what it's like to be a young man. You want what's in your hand, and you want the bird that's in the bush as well. But sometimes you go after the two that are in the bush, and there's a cougar in there, and you get mauled. You understand? One day, you're going to have a child. That child will probably, or at least more than likely, be a daughter. Yes, more than a 50-50 chance. And when that young girl... is on this earth, you do not want to pass along this horrible momentum and karma to her. So I say if you're not happy with the girl you're with, then you get away with her, but you don't cheat on her. That wouldn't be fair. Danny?
All right, Christopher, I agree with Angel Adam. You must be much more Christ-like. You must lay your hands upon as many people as possible. That's the way you have to go. Eventually you will run into a burning bush, but there's a salve. Here's the thing. A bird in the hand is worth two in the bush, but two bushes is worth anything. That's what you want to have. That's what always all men want to have. Having a girl and going back to another girl, or having the choice between having two girls, is what Adam said. You're getting behind the wheel of the brand new Ferrari, and you're going 40 with the option of doing 170. Do 170, my friend. Juggling two women is nothing. You have to have at least three to make it a decent juggle.
Well, you know what, Bonaducci? I think you won that round, my friend.
Yeah, but it's not fair.
It takes a big man to admit when he's wrong, but... I give that round to Bonaducci. Melissa?
Yeah.
What's your dilemma?
I live with my my mother-in-law right now. Mm-hmm. Ever since my husband and I had our baby. And she used to be a real sweetheart, so that was kind of a good deal for us. You know, no rent and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But she's been a huge C.
Yes. So she used to be a good woman. Now she's not.
Well, she's a good woman. She's just starting to kind of get into her menopausal rages.
Mm-hmm. And she wanted, does she want rent money now?
She's been asking for it, and we were giving it to her for a while, and then we just kind of finally just refused.
Sure.
So
why should you pay someone whose roof you're living under?
Exactly.
It's good. Good man you married there.
Yeah.
Taking a stand against paying his
taking
rent.
Taking care of your child.
That was my idea.
All right.
I'm wondering if I should bite the bullet and tell her to get lost and just find somewhere else to go, or if I should be nice and have free rent.
Yeah, it's hard to tell people to get lost from their living room.
Yes.
You can get lost from my house. You can't stand in my house and have the get lost conversation with me, because that means I'll see you later. I'll get lost. I'm going to go into the den and watch TiVo and feverishly masturbate. You're going to get in your car and go back to whatever crappy apartment you may be living in. That's the get lost conversation on their soil. You can't go into a team's home stadium and tell them to get lost. It doesn't work that way. But let me see if I can put a little angel spin on this one. This situation where you live rent-free is not free at all. It may be rent-free, but there's still the devil to pay. So you may save yourself $850 a month on rent, but you spend way more than that in terms of the emotional cost it takes to live with someone and not compensate them for it. They don't turn into the sea, as you like to say it. They probably were. They just looked the other way and bit their lip for 6 months while you were eating all their food and watching their TV and not feeding into the communal kitty. Well, she's at her saturation level and now would like you to either pay rent or leave. You're married. You have a child. I hope you're an adult. It's time to do what all adults do who have children, live at home. And I've looked down the road. What happens? You raise your child in the house of their grandparents. Well, eventually your child's going to have a kid and you're going to have five generations of losers living under the same roof. So don't straighten. Don't settle her hash. Don't call her the C word. Don't get into a blowout with her and throw the TV in the swimming pool. Just gracefully bow out of the situation. Get your first and last together. Tell your husband to collect his huevos, which I'm sure are in a mason jar somewhere underneath the old lady's bed, and move out to set an example for the new one. Danny?
Wow. This is tough. This is tough to beat. First of all, antifreeze can be made into Jell-O.
I did not know that.
And it looks extraordinarily like natural causes. I just saw it on CSI.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Anyway, here's what you want to do. My minions cannot be lazy. I do not appreciate that you live in your mother's house with your grandchild and do not pay rent because you don't have it. What I would appreciate is if you live in your mother's house, have the rent money, don't give it to her anyway, and somehow convince her you're doing her a favor. You have done this so she can spend time with the grandchild she loves so much. You make her believe that not getting the money that would put bread on the table is in somehow a good thing. Don't take her money. Make her give it to you.
Yeah, I had to take my angel wings off, or my halo off, at the beginning of that one, because I just can't stand people that are entitled, and I can't stand... I don't know how many of you people hear yourself when you're telling your story. I've talked to thousands of people that have done that. My stepdad got me a car. Yeah, what's the problem? That sounds pretty good. Was it some old jalopy? No, it was new. Well, what's the deal then? It was a Camry. So what? Your dad got you a new step. Your stepdad's not even your real dad. Got you a brand new Camry. Yeah, but he knew I wanted the Z3. He knew I wanted the BMW. And I'm like, do you hear yourself talking? And do you know what you sound like?
Melissa, did we help you?
Hold on a second. Let me punch her up.
Went on the way of what Danny said. That's kind of the path that we've been taking.
You're living rent free at your mom's house. How old are you, or your husband's
mom?
I'm
25.
You're 25. How old is your husband?
He's 29.
He's 29. He's a few months away from 30, and you have a kid, right?
Yeah.
What's the deal? Shouldn't you guys be living on your own?
Yeah, I mean, we definitely could at this point. It was just a sort of a way to save money. It was a way for the grandma to see the grandkid and everything. And,
well,
and like I said,
if you moved 3 miles away, would the grandma not be able to see the grandkid?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, should we just bite the bullet and move like a state away and say F you? Or
I don't understand. Why can't you just move?
Why are you so angry? What's up your ass? Why don't you just move a block away and shut up?
All right, I'll do that.
Please. And listen, Melissa, let me tell you something. You're going to make your kid angry because you're angry. They're going to grow up with angry, bitter mommy Melissa who's just sitting around going, I can't believe she did this. I don't have the temerity to do that. It's you, baby.
I have a question.
You married a loser. That was the first thing you did. Now you're angry at the mom of the loser for not giving the people with the combined age of 60 free rent. It's not the way it works.
You're an adult. Yeah.
Is the game, as far as most are concerned, officially over?
It's over.
This should be killing your husband. Your husband should not be able to shave because he has to look at himself.
Can I find out, what does the husband do for a living?
He works in a warehouse.
Okay, he needs to work harder at that warehouse job, and you guys need to move out.
And you have a job, Melissa?
I'm working part-time right now because the baby's just turned 3 months, and
Part-time. Part-time at the Blockbuster, full-time giving the stink eye to Mom.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, leave her alone.
Okay.
All right. Jesus Christ.
Yep.
And then you wonder why, and then people do that, and she has a bad attitude with me. Could you imagine having this bitter cooze floating around your crappy small house?
Not for a second.
Oh, examining every move you did?
If my daughter's husband moves into my house, he is my personal servant.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if I were living with somebody and not paying rent, I'd be very careful to do every dish and to help out in any way I could to try to offset the annoyance of my living there with my family.
Right. All right. Let's see. All right. Wait a minute. John from Chino Hills.
Yeah, Adam.
Is this the guy from Seattle who works in the aerospace industry?
Yes, this is the guy.
Oh,
shocker.
And you got it wrong last time. I never said that I was from the Seattle area. I said I was from the Corona area, and I always lived in Chino Hills.
Mm. Okay. But you're calling now.
Yes.
From
where? After Adam ruined my evening last night after he was on the Channel 9 News.
What time was Adam on the Channel 9 News?
What's that, Danny?
What time was Adam on the Channel 9 News? You just said he ruined your night.
I'm sorry, Danny. Danny was on the Channel 9
News. You actually confused me with Adam Carolla?
Oh, gosh. Danny, just keep quiet for a second.
Wait a second.
Well, I mean, I think Adam might have noticed that, too.
Hold on a second. Are you in Seattle now, just for clarity?
No, I'm not in Seattle, for clarity. I live in Chino Hills, and I commute to work, and I'm at work right now with two fellow engineers here.
So you drive to Seattle every morning from Chino Hills?
I don't know.
All right, but you do aerospace work, do you not? Or at least commercial aircraft stuff?
Yes, I do.
All right, so you were complaining about his question for Angel Adam Devil Danny, which I thought would be funny until we stopped playing when I got angry at that woman, was should I keep listening to the show or not, which I thought would have been a funny Angel Adam Devil Danny, but I'm too tired now. John, what's your complaint about Danny on the Channel 9 News, and what were you doing on the Channel 9 News last night?
They do a thing with
Adam, it all started yesterday. I went fishing after work, and on the way home from our fishing trip, we were listening to 97.1. We were listening to the Conway Whitney show. And my roommate
simulcast.
Calls me and says, hey, John, your buddy Danny's on the radio. I'm thinking, what's he doing on at about 8 o'clock at night? So sure enough, he was on the Conway Whitman show, and they said that he was going to go on TV on Channel 9 in about 5 to 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Sure enough, Danny always steered the conversation to Gretchen. He always steered the conversation to how his $4.5 million home has to be sold. But see, he's so cleverly, like, inputs, you know, little things that are going to, you know, turn the conversation towards him or something. You know, Danny, no one cares that you got a $4.5 million home.
Well, I'm kind of interested by that.
Yeah. Let me comment, John, because I've listened to you for a couple of days on this. So let me see if I've got this right. I have so become a part of your life that when I went, let me just finish. You've had your turn. Give me a shot, okay?
Yeah.
I have become so much a part of your life that if you happen to miss something I do, several people will call you so you can be informed where to get so you can get right to a TV and to a radio and hate me twice in the same day. Is that correct?
Now it's become a personal vendetta. I hate you so much, Danny.
Wait a minute. Has he become your Tyra Banks?
What's this?
Is he your Tyra Banks? What Tyra is to me?
Yes. Yeah. I think that's what I'm
going to say. Mm-hmm. But let me float this out there, John.
Kiss my fat ass.
In a way, that's how you know you're alive. Let me explain something. John, let me explain why the Mexicans can't make dessert.
Uh-oh.
I just had flan.
Here's what's the only thing they do, and that's essentially.
Hold on, were you with Gretchen?
Gretchen made it, yeah.
They'll mix flan. By the way, I'm not counting flan because flan is essentially yogurt with honey dripped on top of it. The Mexicans didn't come up with that.
Okay.
Here's why the Mexicans can't make a pastry. Here's why they can't do dessert. Here's when you go to a Mexican restaurant, you want dessert, you can't get anything decent. They only have flan. Flan is great when you're in a Mexican restaurant, but if you were in a German restaurant, you wouldn't order flan for dessert. And if you had your choice between apple pie, a la mode, and flan, not a human being would order flan. Now, here's why the Mexicans screw up dessert. They have figured out what makes dessert dessert. What's the best part about dessert? Answer, sugar.
Sugar.
You take a roll and you remove the sugar. It's no longer sweet roll. It's a bagel.
Right.
It's something you put a sandwich meat on or what have you. So they figured out the best part about dessert is the sugar. So here's the mistake they made. They took sugar. They melted it down. They shaped it into a cactus and they called it dessert. They didn't put the salt in it. They didn't put the baking powder in it. They didn't have the yin and the yang and the nuance where you have sometimes it is amazing what it takes to bring out the sugar. It takes the salt to bring out the sugar. So possibly, John,
yes. This
you could be praying for Mexican dessert, but it could be a big mistake.
No.
Maybe you need Danny's dessert. Salt yeah. to my sugar.
Adam, put it this way. If Robin, we have a fellow engineer here named Robin, okay? If you can do this, John.
You can do it. Go ahead.
I'm a nerd.
Yeah, I can do this. If Danny worked in any other environment, Danny wouldn't get along with anybody, okay? He's just another regular Joe Schmuck, and I don't know why we're celebrating this man as we're doing. He's
so Rob, wait a minute. Are you saying that Robin, the guy you work with, is a schmuck?
No. What I'm saying is that Danny is just a regular Joe, nobody's special, and we're celebrating this man's life.
Well, but I got a question. He can articulate himself, John. You got to give him that.
I get my point across a little quicker than this.
All right,
so my question is, how many regular Joes are there that you have your friends call you to tell you about their whereabouts, and then make sure to rush home so you don't miss the guy?
You, Danny, because I laugh so much that you've made it, I guess, so far.
See, you're laughing.
I laugh so much.
John is fascinated by you.
John is. I think John has a crush on me.
Wait, may I submit one thing? The opposite of love is not hate. It's apathy.
Indifference. Right.
Yes, it's
indifference.
Absolutely.
Interesting.
John is putting a lot of emotional energy and time.
He's very emotionally attached to me.
Yeah. No, I know. When I would go to the hottest chick in school when I was in junior high and say, ta-da, it's me, Adam Carolla. They go, who? They wouldn't go, Adam Carolla, I hate you so much. I wish
you.
They wish they would have done it.
Yeah.
Hey, we have a clip, by the way, of Danny on KCAL last night, Channel 9.
Lindsay Lohan gets caught with cocaine in her pocket, and they're not calling Glenn Walker.
Well, they originally called Corey Feldman and found the man can't get a sentence out, so now I'm the official spokesman.
Yeah, you're like the articulate former addict.
Yeah.
Or current addict, recovering addict.
A lot of the ex-child stars just took a bunch of drugs and faded away. I took drugs and read.
That was articulate and funny. Come on, John.
No, that's not funny.
All right. We're running late.
Real quick. Let's see what I can do to make John happy. John, where are you right now?
He's in Seattle.
He's in Chino Hills.
So you're not that far from the station, right?
Right. So I want to come down and bitch your ass out.
I think that's what you should do right now. I think if you would like to come and tell me these grievances in person, you should head to this station right this very moment.
Danny, will you not get physical with him?
Yeah, I guess that's the whole thing. I don't want Danny to get all physical with me.
What if he agrees not to?
He's just so dumb. And if you just call him out...
John, listen. Come on.
John, you're an engineer.
You can do better than dumb.
Everybody here hates you. And everybody here hates you.
He's a dumb. Elizabeth?
Where's here, by the way?
What's that?
What part of Seattle are you in? No, where's here? You mean here?
Adam, you're pissing me off.
I know. Here at work.
There you go.
All right, hang on. Listen.
By the way, fishing is my favorite hobby. I just thought I'd throw that in.
Hell hath no fury like a nerd scorn. Hang on. Actually, don't hang on, yeah. John. We got to do the news. I like coming in and toying around with you once a week or so. Good times. But, we got to move forward.
Yeah. But just in case he's still thinking that it'd be best to come by and talk to me face to face, I would like to encourage that.
I don't think
as highly as possible.
I don't think he's going to take you up on that one. Hey, T?
Yes.
Sell the news.
Okay. What does Elizabeth Hasselbeck think of Lindsay Lohan? Boy, are you going to hate her. Also,
oh, really?
Yeah. Yes. Also, is it illegal to masturbate in prison? You will be surprised when I tell you the answer.
Yeah. So, if you're in for life... What are they going to do?
Well, someone's in a lot of trouble.
But if you're in for the weekend, the other cellmates just kick your ass.
We'll take ourselves a quick break. Back to the news next.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show with Danny Bonaducci and Teresa Strasser. We're still playing Who Wants to Be Underpaid? The search for the new phone screener. Let's see how Ozzy did.
Good morning, Adam Carolla Show.
Hi, I was calling about the call screener position.
Good morning, Adam Carolla Show.
Hi, I was calling about the call screener.
Maybe I'm missing.
Hello?
Adam Carolla Show.
Hi, I was calling about the call screener position.
Call screener position?
Yeah.
Okay, what's your name?
My name's Kyle. Makes it easy.
Kyle? Okay, where you from?
Visalia.
Brasilia?
California. It's near Fresno.
Oh, yeah? Oh. Is it Brasilia, Brazil?
Not Brasilia.
Oh. Okay. Where you from?
Call 866-901-ADAM. The search for our new phone screener continues all this week on the Adam Carolla Show.
Great Ozzy. See, Ozzy would pronounce Visalia Bizilia. But he didn't pronounce it that way.
No.
All right, T.
Yes.
News, baby doll.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
Michael Vick is due in federal court today to start a legal process that could jeopardize not only his career, but also his freedom. The Atlanta Falcons quarterback is expected at a bond hearing. To enter a plea on dogfighting conspiracy charges. He's accused with three others of conspiracy involving competitive dogfighting, procuring and training pit bulls for fighting, and conducting the enterprise across state lines. Now, here's a surprising
Flew a spaceship
twist.
Into Nevada?
No. He operated, allegedly, a kennel called the Bad News Kennel in Surry County, Virginia. And I guess they're accusing him of transporting some of these... fighting pit bulls across state lines. Now, here's somebody who's going after him, Al Sharpton.
Wait a minute, Al is black.
I know. Al Sharpton does not only go after white people, he's going after Michael Vick.
Mm-hmm.
Also, hip-hop entrepreneur Russell Simmons and PETA have teamed up. They are sending a letter to Vick's corporate sponsors saying that they should dump Vick and PETA. People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals also picketed the New York City Nike Town store yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, hurting animals for human pleasure or gain is despicable. Our battle must extend to those innocent animals who literally have no voice or choice.
Well, here's the problem for
Parrots.
Michael Vick. Parrots have a voice.
Yeah.
Stop mine are birds, some macaws.
That's all my bird ever says.
In a sense,
stop hurting me for pleasure.
In a sense, dogs have a voice. It just doesn't speak English.
Yes, that's my dog barks all night long. Here's the deal. It used to be that there was the court of public opinion, and then there was the court.
Right.
And they didn't commingle so much. It was, you may have been a pariah outside of the jailhouse, but the judge inside the courtroom would just make his verdict based on whatever the evidence of the case was. I think the lines are getting blurred now.
Yes.
I think when the judge that sees Lindsay Lohan when Lindsay Lohan comes in front of that judge is going to make a decision based on the evidence and then
Paris Hilton.
Based on how much crap that guy's going to get when he leaves the courthouse when everyone shoves a camera and a mic in his face and wants to know why he only gave her 2 days of house arrest. So that factors in. For this reason, Michael Vick is screwed, glued, and tattooed.
Yep.
Public opinion. We love animals and especially dogs
sure.
in this country. I'm not sure what the obsession is, but if you people will disagree on many things along party lines and cultural lines. The one thing we can agree on as a nation,
right.
Republican or Democrat, is we all love pets. And mm-hmm. anyone who does anything to a pet, you'd be much better off shooting your wife than you would be drowning your dog in terms of public opinion.
And finance. Oh, and whoops.
Yes, you could save yourself some alimony. So he is screwed with this one. As a matter of fact, from a PR standpoint, I don't know a worse move you could make than the torturing, killing, and whatevering of dogs. You really could have replaced dogs with human beings, and people would be kinder.
Yes.
I mean, at least PETA would leave him alone. There are no groups that are really specially organized for human beings. There's just us.
Right.
He wouldn't be getting letters from us. He is screwed.
Yes. I mean, we could probably forgive Lindsay Lohan for her trespasses a lot sooner.
I could forgive yes. Michael Vick if he had his dogs attack Lindsay Lohan. I'd be all right with that.
Interesting. Yeah.
Well, instead, the law has attacked Lindsay Lohan. She was booked on 4 counts following the bizarre early morning car chase of earlier in the week. 2 misdemeanors, suspicion of driving under the influence of alcohol and driving on a suspended license. That was, of course, Paris's charge. Mm. And then 2 other charges, possession of cocaine and transport of a narcotic, which are both felonies. Now, no one's expecting the transport charge to stick.
Right.
That's usually reserved for people trying to smuggle drugs into prisons and stuff like that.
And cross state lines.
And they right. didn't find the coke stash in her pocket until she was custody, and it's in police custody. And it's not like she intended to take the coke into a jail that night. She just happened to have it.
I see. Well, I think I have a solution to this. You know when celebrities get into trouble, they get community service.
Right.
And they say, look, you don't have to do time. You have to make a public service announcement
right.
saying drinking and driving is bad. I have a great idea to kill a couple birds with one stone.
Right.
Alec Baldwin got into a little trouble right. with his girl
yeah,
the other month.
She was being a rude little piggy.
Right. Perhaps his public service should be calling Paris Hilton and Lindsay Lohan and scaring the bejesus out of them as the voice of the sort of the paternal father. You know what I mean?
Right.
They're like, here's Alec Baldwin should call all young girls at risk and be like, hey, listen, you little piggy, with your cocaine and your SUVs and your all-night party. You're lucky I ain't in California. You're lucky I'm on the East Coast, but I'm getting on a plane Friday. Okay, do you understand me? And I will see you Friday and I will settle your goddamn hash. I mean, don't you think if Alec had called Lindsay and had called Paris and had called whoever somewhere early and often that somehow they wouldn't be spinning out of control at this point?
I think on the overall, you're absolutely right. But I think the way you phrased it just then, the phone call would sound like this. He'd say, I'm going to come there and settle your hash. And they'd hang up and they'd go, what happened? They'd say, Alec Baldwin wants to do something to my breakfast. I don't really understand.
Alec said he's going to score some hash.
And I don't get it.
Well, listen, I think we have to go to break, but the women from The View had a discussion about Lindsay Lohan. Very enlightening.
Oh, really? All right.
And also,
wow.
Probably the best masturbation story I've ever heard.
Mm. Yeah.
Awaits.
Well, all right.
But not yet.
I could dust off a few of mine.
Oh, good.
We'll see. So we'll take the break. We'll hear the news. We'll break the news into 2 bits, see if we can get back to on time on this show. So we'll be back with The View. I also pulled something off, I think it was Extra last night, Paris Hilton weighing in.
Oh, no.
On Lindsay Lohan's
nice.
Situation.
Nice.
Yeah, remember when she was talking to Larry or Green or what's his
King?
Name? Larry King, the other. I don't know where that came
no,
from.
Green's is his flesh color.
Yes. Remember she's on Larry King promising not to be stupid a few weeks ago?
Yeah.
She said she was going to not be stupid anymore. Turned out she was lying. We'll hear that next.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show. Here's another summer safety tip with the deaf frat guy.
Sometimes I get a little bummed out about sunstroke. So if you're headed to the beach, bring sunblock with at least SPF 15. Unless you can find SPF 69, bro. Hell yeah.
Thanks, Mav. Now back to Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser on the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, we had to break the news into two parts. We had so much of it, and we're running so late. So let's get to part two of the news.
Yesterday on The View, the Yentas weighed in on the Lindsay Lohan situation. Let's take a listen.
So how can we come on today and not talk again about Lindsay Lohan? Because I feel sorry for her. Yeah, I just think that,
do you?
I think.
I stopped feeling bad when she.
She looks such a mugshot.
She's gorgeous. She has a lot going for her. I feel bad because I don't think she necessarily has a support system that many people do. However, I stop feeling bad when a person who's drinking gets behind the wheel of a car when 43,000 people a year are killed by drunk drivers.
I stop feeling bad then.
I think she put 43,000 off the top of her head.
Yeah.
She didn't look it up or anything.
Well, it's the same amount who die from secondhand smoke every year.
Sounds a bit arbitrary.
Yeah, there are, I believe, somewhere, Bald Brian, where are you going? Going to the magic porn box and find out the other stuff that it does,
too.
They
use it for other stuff.
That's what I just found that out. I believe there's 40-something thousand traffic fatalities nationally each year, not drunk driving. That's how many people die in total. And then a certain percentage, probably a small percentage, die because there were substances involved with the people that committed the accident.
And don't forget, and I don't mean to give anybody a break, you shouldn't drink behind
the
wheel. But don't forget that there are a lot of people who will blow .08 and be in a car wreck that they'd have been in anyway.
Absolutely.
It was the other person's fault, but they blew an 08.
And also, again, it's one of these things, too, where if you want to do this umbrella of impaired, everybody, at a certain point when I was teaching traffic schools, somebody said to me, one of my instructors, that 50% of the people that are driving on the road have something in their system.
Right.
Maybe it's Robitussin. Maybe it's an decongestant. Maybe it's an antidepressant, whatever. Everyone has something in their veins. So technically, anytime there's an accident, somebody has something in them.
See, I always feel safe about the other three or four cars around me because I figure I took theirs. So they're probably all right.
Well, I want to know how many people a year are hurt by self-righteous people with
yes.
spoiled sense of indignation.
Well,
innumerable.
Let me say this about the Lindsay Lohan situation. I was doing Joe Scarborough at 5:45 this morning on the way in, and I thought, there's nothing I want to do more than talk on my way to talking for 4 hours. But he's a nice guy, and it was a good time. I said this. Everyone does this thing with Lindsay Lohan where they go, well, Paris Hilton, okay, she's just some rich deb heiress. Who cares if we got plenty of skinny, stupid blondes on the planet? But Lindsay Lohan, it's tragic because she's gifted. You know what I mean? She's a talent. She's gifted. Well,
yeah, I can hear that too.
Here's the thing. Acting is not that big a deal. It's not nearly as hard as people make it out to be. And how gifted is she? Her last movie sucked. And did horrible at the box office. And the one before that sucked, too. And acting not nearly as tall a order as we make it out to be. Doing this job is a much taller order than acting. Doing a two-hour stand-up concert, much taller order. Or just doing a two-hour concert, much taller order. The acting thing, either you can do it or you can't, pretty much.
Right.
And you hear about this stuff all the time where the guy, Arlie Ermey or whatever, he was a drill instructor. And the next thing you know, he's in full metal jacket and he's the best guy in it. It happens.
Get on your knees. Come back.
That happens all the time.
And almost anyone can do it, really.
Right.
I mean, if you were to tell me right now what emotion to have and the exact words to say to Brian, I could do it passively this very moment. No preparation, no nothing. So could anyone.
Call him a bald homo and do it. Let's see. Do it. Do it as angry and as vitriolically as possible.
I knew it. I'm surrounded by assholes.
Just to make it a little more difficult, give me a few more words than that.
No, to memorize. I'll give you this. Just call him. Just say, you bald homo. As scary as you can say it. And then we'll do it in a passive way.
We'll
do it in a way where you're lamenting.
Can we move
it
forward?
Here we go.
You bald homo.
Good, good. That was angry. Mm-hmm. Now what I want is, I want a little more pensive or passive, a little more of a question mark at the end.
And the show has reached
a new
low.
So he doesn't know if he should be saying
it. Not sure.
You bald homo?
Perfect, perfect. Now I want pathos. You're in love with that bald homo.
I've
he won't
been
have you.
I'm tired of this.
You bald homo.
Good. Oh, thank you. That's exactly the response I'm looking for.
Now, joy. Unbridled joy.
You bald homo.
Do you see how easy it is, people?
I've killed more brain cells than most people have, and I can do that.
That was a tour de force.
It really was.
I don't even know where I am.
Give him a Marconi or whatever we hand out. Radio for acting. Nice job.
Very nice job. Now, I'm
yes.
going to...
Yes. Now, it's not that hard. And when I was talking to the folks over at Joe Scarborough, or Joe, Morning Joe, I think the name of the show is now, from Scarborough Country, they said, yeah, the last movie she did that was good was Mean Girls. And
that was very good.
And then... And then somebody said, yeah, they ought to give, what's her name from 30 Rock, who wrote Mean Girls, Tina Fey. She's the one that shouldn't be driving around with cocaine. That would be a tragedy.
Right.
Right.
The ones that parrots the words that she creates, dime a dozen. You don't think there's another hot 21-year-old who can be in a crappy movie?
Anyway,
please.
Didn't I just parrot all the words at him?
Uh-oh. Wait a second.
Wait. Well, you were making his point that actors aren't necessarily all that intelligent.
Yeah, but then he said I should have a bunch of blow in my pocket and drive fast, and I don't see any call for that.
Who decided she was a ball of talent?
Yeah.
Who decided it was a waste? Isn't she just another hot chick that's not living up to her potential?
And not that hot.
Yes, and speaking of that, Paris Hilton. Now we have the clip from Extra. This is Paris Hilton weighing in. From a red carpet, by the way. And I thought after the Larry King interview, A, she wasn't going to be going out clubbing at night. And then B, she wasn't going to be stupid. But I think she reneged on both those.
Extra exclusive. Paris speaks out about Lindsay's DUI bust.
God bless her.
Her career in crisis.
Paris on Lindsay's DUI crisis. Sherry Pinicoli has the latest on Lohan.
Lindsay's in hiding one day after hitting rock bottom. And today, Extra's got Hollywood's bad girls on Lohan's new love.
I just want everyone to be happy and healthy.
Lindsay's party pal, Paris Hilton, breaking her silence to Extra last night at the Project E event in L.A.
God bless her.
Wow, controversial.
Wow.
Paris speaks out.
I thought she wasn't going to use her high voice anymore.
I just want everyone to be happy and healthy. I just want everyone to be happy and healthy. God bless her. Paris speaks out on Lohan.
Controversial. God bless her.
How do we know who that was on anyway?
And maybe just the event is that Paris speaks, as in can accomplish that task.
Right.
Maybe that's what's interesting about it.
Oh, God. I want everyone, not Lindsay, everyone.
Yeah.
Including Osama bin Laden. Everyone to be happy and healthy. And then God bless her.
God bless.
Oh, my God. Is she dumb? And the only one dumber than her is the folks at Extra doing the Paris speaks out. And the only one dumber than the folks at Extra is me sitting at home trying to eat.
Going
out, shushing my wife. Shh.
I disagree.
Sweetie, Paris is speaking out. I got to hear what she's got to say. God bless her.
I think by the end of yesterday, I'd probably driven well over 100 miles to do a bunch of deep cable shows that no one will watch so I could discuss my take on Lindsay Lohan, which would change depending on if the guy on the last show said anything clever I could steal.
But imagine, though, the relief of being a hot chick.
Yeah.
Because Bonaducci, when you show up on one of these shows and you got to speak out about Lohan, you better be fast and you better be funny and you better not stutter. Wouldn't it be great if you could just show up with like five assistants and a publicist and go, God bless her. I think everyone should be happy.
And healthy.
Just these retarded platitudes. When did we decide it was okay to speak in retarded platitudes?
I don't know. I mean... It's not that I thought I would never miss the day I just never thought I would become the age to say something like this. But what the hell happened to Cary Grant?
Yes.
What happened to the movie star who's just as sharp and clever? Remember when David Niven was hosting the Academy Awards and Streaking was in and the guy ran across the stage naked and David Niven, without missing a moment, said,
How sad that on a broadcast like this, that man must show us his shortcomings. And on with the show.
Yes.
What happened to being a celebrity meant you were clever, meant you could do things that other people couldn't do.
He, Nivens, got replaced by Tracy Morgan.
Yes, an actor without a script and is Tracy often Lords. Very disappointing.
Oh. Yes.
But how about a masturbation story?
Yes.
I've got several. Why?
This is a really good one.
Oh, from you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, okay, I thought it was a request.
From the news.
Mm-hmm.
It's about a 20-year-old named Terry Lee Alexander. He was in jail in Florida. Mm-hmm. He was locked up awaiting his trial for armed robbery. After lights out, he sat on his bunk alone in his cell, just alone, you know, and he thought maybe he would have his way with himself.
Mm-hmm.
Kill some time, maybe it helps you sleep.
Right.
Sure.
All of those things.
A female deputy was monitoring the jail from a control room, and a camera caught this 20-year-old kid doing what he was doing. Now, in Florida jails and prisons, pleasuring yourself is against the rules. Usually, it's handled with a slap on the wrist. If a prisoner gets caught, I know, it didn't sound right, he gets a disciplinary write-up, he loses a privilege like phone or recreation time, but in this case,
yes,
criminal charges were filed. And yesterday, this 20-year-old kid went to trial for misdemeanor indecent exposure. Now, here's what happened during his trial yesterday. His lawyer tried to play up how common touching yourself is. So he asked every juror if they've ever masturbated.
Mm-hmm.
All nine men said yes. And a couple of the women wouldn't admit it.
Jeez, I can't pry that vibrator out of Amy's hand.
You know, the thing that's funny about masturbating, guys are so into masturbating that when they talk to chicks about the chicks masturbating,
right,
they're only doing it to masturbate, to them masturbating.
Yep. Really?
Guys will be like, come on, you know you've done it. Come on. Well, come on, you know you have. Well, come on, be honest, everyone has, I have. Well, I've done it once. Okay, I gotta go.
I gotta go.
Hold on, I have to masturbate to you masturbating.
I just made a deposit in this bank.
Yeah.
All right, now, the jury deliberated for 45 minutes, and they found him guilty of indecent exposure, which means he got an extra 60 days tacked onto his sentence. Now, while he was sitting in jail awaiting this indecent exposure charge for masturbating in his cell, his other trial happened. He got 10 years for armed robbery. Now he has 10 years and 60 days.
Well, that just seems like a colossal waste of resources.
Costs the taxpayers something like $20,000 every extra day, his public defender.
Yes, the most expensive smack on the wiener since Pee Wee Herman got busted for his. But here's the thing.
I'm trying to use the phone!
Every time I talk to someone in law enforcement about conjugal visits, I don't like the idea of these guys getting married and having sex after they've committed murder. And they say, if we took that away from the prisoners, they would riot. You understand?
Right.
You want your population that's incarcerated masturbating. Otherwise, there's going to be a lot of fights out in the yard. So that's all the guys have. I mean, I don't want them to have a filet mignon or cable TV, but please do not take that God-given right away from a man.
There's almost nobody I've hated enough to say, okay, you can't ever be with chicks or masturbate.
That's cruel. I want to say,
I've hated some folks a lot.
Well, I want everyone to be happy and healthy, and God bless. I'm Teresa Strasser, that's the news.
Tomorrow's news, today, Teresa Strasser. CNN.
All right. Kenny Mayne from Sports Center fame is coming on next. He's many things to ask him about. Yes.
And one other thing coming up that you may be unaware of, but is happening on your show that I failed to mention. Between 9:30 and 10, I will be delivering a sincere but court-ordered apology on this radio show. Now, don't let the fact that it is court-ordered for one moment now you think that I am not sincere in my apology that will be coming at 9:30. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't have known to apologize till the police showed up at my house to tell me I better apologize. So look for that between 9:30 and 10.
When I was doing Loveline, I had the police show up to tell me I had to apologize to them.
What?
Wow.
Wait, was this on the air?
This, much of it was on the air, but, yes.
I have a knot in my stomach about this. It's very unfortunate.
I think it couldn't be a better shining moment for me, I think.
Okay.
Mine had to do with Heidi Fleiss and some choice words I had for
the cops wasting their time.
40 guys who posed as Japanese businessmen who basically were... You know how I feel about consensual crimes and time wasted and resources wasted, and we don't have enough manpower to put guys at the ports to stop the enriched plutonium from coming in on the cargo ships. I had some very choice words for a lot of those guys, and they showed up
at your door.
They weren't big fans. They showed up at Loveline.
Huh.
And there was trouble to be had. Yeah,
awesome.
Yeah, good times. Kenny Mayne next. Have many questions for him, especially about this whole Barry Bonds thing.
Too.
I mean, the guy's on the precipice of breaking the record. I mean, he has two more to go to tie. The thing about home runs is he can hit two in one game.
He could hit three in a game.
Could happen today or tomorrow or whatever. I want to talk to him about that. Many other things. Also, robbing Jimmy Kimmel of a home run. I do believe at the softball celebrity all-star game a few weeks ago. Kenny Mayne next.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show with Danny Bonaducci and Teresa Strasser. 1996 at the Dover International Speedway. Jimmy Spencer and Wally Dallenbach get into it. While SportsCenter's Kenny Mayne has the call.
Rigged in space! They're all over the place. And Jimmy Spencer is displeased with Dallenbach. You are the worst driver ever!
And now SportsCenter anchor and the author of the new book, An Incomplete and Inaccurate History of Sport, Kenny Mayne, on the Adam Carolla Show.
Kenny?
Is that really the best thing I've done on ESPN?
One of?
By far.
I was younger then. I looked better, too. I've really aged. It's kind of sad.
Well, you've become a little more distinguished over the years, but you still look good.
I feel good.
Good. I know you feel good. I saw you rob Kimmel of his home run in the Celebrity All-Star game a few weeks back.
Well, I've had some problems in that game before. I'm not the athlete I may have been 27, 28 years ago in college.
Right.
Type of football. I actually was almost, I guess if I went to school on a scholarship, I must have been called an athlete. It's just weird to call yourself that when you're so removed from it.
Well, where did you go to college and what was the scholarship for? Football?
Tackle football. UNLV.
Not touch?
I was there.
Mm-hmm.
No. I like to distinguish that. You know, don't you remember as children that they always have the parental permission slip in order to play tackle football? Didn't you have that in your neighborhood?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. You guys grew up in the city.
Thank yeah. You. A lot of releases for field trips when I was in junior high, which is really, you think my mom's not going to sign off on me going to Eagle Rock to see how taco seasoning is made at the Lari seasoning plant? Do you think she's going to find that too? Yeah, you think she's going to find that too controversial?
We did the Wonder Bread too.
We did Wonder Bread. I think they took us to Rainier Beer. I don't know why. You know, up in Seattle.
Really?
Rainier, you know, those guys.
Listen, if you would have brought a note home to my mom saying, we're taking Adam to Belize to mule cocaine in across the border, she would have been like, fine, what's going to be gone, a month or two? No problem.
Is it okay if Adam shares needles at school?
He was trying to teach you some responsibility. You can't do it if you don't give the kid the right to make his own decisions. I agree with your mom. But Sean Doran's sister used to write our notes, and then we would go to the racetrack.
Really?
Yeah. And it's turned out to be profitable, because now I do that for work. I cover a lot of horse racing. Like, man, Dixie got mad at my Uncle Gordy for corrupting me.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, Dixie, you know, he gets paid to go to horse tracks. Like, why is that bad? That's the job.
We were talking earlier this morning.
Talking about my robbing of Kimmel and the great athleticism.
What
happened exactly?
Well, here's what happened.
Okay.
I went back. I knew Jimmy has power. He's gone deep before in the game. The fence is only like 220 feet. I can't hit a home run to save my life. I'm a singles hitter. I'm kind of a singles fielder also. I don't really like to run around out there.
Yeah, and by the way, Kenny, to be fair to my partner Jimmy Kimmel, he does have a lot of pop in his bat, but you'd never know it from the 300 or 400 times he shows it on his show that evening.
Well,
he's very modest about it.
Yeah, but he's a wallflower.
Mm-hmm.
ESPN has such liberal usage rules, he can just take that.
Right.
Right.
Or HBO or something, he'd be murdered there. So, no, he hit it over my head like 2 or 3 years ago at a game. And then, you know, 5 years ago, 6 years ago in Seattle, I ran back and tried to bring back an Alvin Davis home run. And does anybody know we're talking about a celebrity legend softball game at this point?
Yes, no. Yes.
Yeah, it's All-Star weekend. It's part of the thing. So, I mean, you're out there playing in the outfield with Ricky Henderson and Fred Lynn. I mean, it's just, you know, I was a football guy, not a baseball guy as much, but still I love the sport. And just just ludicrous that I'm in the outfield and I look to my right and, you know, there's a Hall of Famer. It's just funny. It's like playing wiffle ball with, you know, the Field of Dreams guys or something.
Right.
So, right.
Surreal.
I know Fred Gwynn was a baseball player.
Indeed. I hit my head.
Fred Lynn.
Fred Lynn.
Oh, Fred Gwynn was the guy from the Munsters.
Right. Fred Lynn was the guy from the...
Sorry.
I thought it was an appropriate contribution by you, because you hadn't really brought in a lot right yet, but it's great to meet you over the phone.
Pleasure to meet you, sir.
I played flag football with Grandpa Al Lewis last week, by the way.
So, Kenny, you're out there, and it's your own field of dreams.
My story.
Yes.
Sorry. Damn it, Teresa.
I'm trying to help him.
And so, I'm going back to flashback, 2001. And I hit my head on the fence in Seattle, and these high school students were holding the fence up. It was like a temporary aluminum fence with poles, and I got a concussion in the middle of the game. And this is a day after I'd stepped on the white chalk line. You're never supposed to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I had mocked the baseball rule. Like, who cares? I don't believe in superstition. So I get a concussion on the last play of the game. I almost ruined my knee. I had an MRI. It turned out to be just like a minor bruise. And then my hair dryer caught on fire at my hotel the next day. So the curse of stepping on the line. Stepping on the white line. But on Jimmy's catch, we haven't really spent enough time on that one yet.
No.
I really wasn't all that elegant going back. I sort of did a Billy Kilmer, Sonny Jurgensen is more apt, you know, where you just backpedal, you know, not really drop back.
Mm-hmm.
And I almost stumbled and fell, but instead I jumped up in the air and all 5 inches and caught the damn thing.
Well, it was pretty damn impressive because that ball was 3-4 feet over the fence. It was...
I told it, but it was Griffey-like.
Definitely a home run, nice. And he pulled that baby back in. So, Kenny, we would not be doing our job if we didn't bring up the Michael Vick and then the Barry Bonds story. So what are your thoughts on both? Let's start with Vick.
I was ready to talk about my book first.
You mean an incomplete and inaccurate history of sport?
Yes. Yeah, last week we ran a fake promotion where we pretended to take on Harry Potter, ha, 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 and so many people caught on to that one. But
swept
we're
going
to keep the website going and alert the readers and viewers as to what
the website
there really is
a book. The website is KennyMaineIsWritingABook.com.
Yeah, I gotta put www in front of it, I think, or HTML or whatever that people do these days on computers. I don't even like computers.
How the hell did you write this book on a scroll?
I did it in stone. No, I mean, I'm actually rewriting because I thought the editor was kind of soft on me. He's just like, hey, pretty good. And then I'm like, okay, well, I'm gonna rewrite stuff I hate. But yes, Michael Vick, I thought he was the same brother between the two because I don't know if it was The Onion or whoever it was said Marcus Vick accused of Nazi war crimes. You remember, you know?
Yeah. Michael Vick has a brother who was a quarterback. And did he go to Virginia Tech as well?
Yeah, and he, you know, every other month he was getting, you know, and they weren't huge things, all of them, but I think, I don't want to speak out of turn here because I don't know every detail on his. I kind of lost track of the guy. He had so many problems. But he kept getting chance after chance. And it seemed like Michael was the, you know, this Nike guy and, at one time, had the highest contract in the league and, you know, the ultimate weapon, kind of the modern.
Yeah, he was the good Vic brother. Now, his brother, who I forgot about, I even forgot he had a brother, has been out of college for a couple of years, right? Did he try to make it in the pros?
Yeah, he got a couple of tryouts. In fact, I think with Michael's team, I can't even tell you where he is now.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I'd like to update He Hate Me status also. I believe he's still trying to get on. Hopefully, his son, good man, Rod Smart. You know about him, right?
Yeah, he's the guy who played in the Vince McMahon Football League, and he had.
But he also played in the NFL. He was on Carolina Panthers Super Bowl team.
He, on the back of his jersey, it said He Hate Me. That was like his name.
Wow.
Yeah.
I like it.
They let them put anything they want back there. Have we stayed with anything for more than 12 to 15 seconds?
No, so,
does it matter?
Well, we were talking about Michael Vick, and you start talking about his brother.
I know.
All right, so what about Michael Vick?
God knows. I hope it's not as bad as it looks for his sake and for tackle football's sake. Because, I mean, every sport right now, I mean, cockfighting is looking pretty good by comparison.
Yes.
Kenny, have you ever met him, Michael Vick, personally?
I do not know Michael Vick. Mm-hmm. Never met him. Never crossed
him. How about Barry Bonds?
I tried. I almost met Barry Bonds. Harold Reynolds said, Barry, this is Kenny, and he turned his back and walked away. So that was as close as I came
to meeting Barry Bonds. Wow.
I don't know them all. Like, I can name other people I've met.
Well, what do you think about Barry Bonds? What do you think about people's reaction? I mean, the fans are giving him... I mean, I couldn't imagine standing out in left field and having to deal or right... trying to think where they moved him out and left and dealing with those fans.
I can explain it. It'd be like me standing out in the middle of the field and 35,000 Johns in the stands just screaming, he hate me.
Right.
He seems impervious to it, and that's a really big word to throw around at 10:40 Eastern, but and my mom used it once. It means it doesn't bother you. But,
right.
You guys knew that.
What about the record? How do you think history will look upon that?
I was
going to
say, before I got sidetracked on
your mom
fighting or whatever I brought up, or my mother, or your mother for letting me go to Belize, although cocaine back into the country. all these, and the NBA ref, we haven't even mentioned that, the blood doping at the Tour de France. Like, every sport has some black cloud over it.
The Tour de France, blood doping, yeah.
Well, that's every year, though, right?
That's a weird one, blood doping.
Well, let me say this about the blood doping thing very quickly. The last year's winner of the Tour de France got his trophy or his whatever title stripped away because of blood doping. Yeah. The guy who was leading the pack got suspended for blood doping. Another guy got arrested for blood doping in the Tour de France. Makes you think about Lance Armstrong winning 6 years in a row.
Seven
years in a row. Makes you wonder.
Well, you know what it makes you think? It makes you think he must have been really fit.
I have a question for Kenny Mayne.
Damn it, let me say one
thing. Go ahead.
For your question.
Go ahead.
All these guys, all these allegations, to my knowledge, not one of them have been proven because a singular has been proven true yet.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of weird. I know in some forms you can just say whatever the hell you want. I have to watch it slightly given that I work for the Worldwide Leader and I'm almost a journalist, even though I make up 99% of my stories, including the ones we just went to England for.
Right.
But, that said, a lot of this evidence is pretty damning. I mean, I don't believe the thing that just because somebody's indicted means he's guilty. Mm-hmm. Like there are other people who are falsely accused, but it sure looks bad in every last one of these cases. Like, given all the evidence, I'm not saying he's definitely used them. He hasn't denied it, but then again, they haven't tested for it. Barry Bonds, it doesn't look very straight.
Well, so I don't know if
a logical person could say that based on the leaked grand jury testimony. The statements from others who have admitted it, the girlfriend who's now going to pose in Playboy.
Oh, really?
No.
I don't know if you saw Costas's show last couple nights.
Don't tell me what happened.
Okay.
Okay.
I don't want to be a spoiler for you, but they interviewed the chemist who came up with the clear,
they
Falco call it.
The guy?
Yeah, which is the steroid that they, and he basically just said, of course, I gave it to Balco, and he gave it to Bonds, and he took it. And then you see the pictures of him looking long and lanky in a Pirates outfit and him looking jacked in a tight-fitting shirt. And you go, wow, it's one thing to put on a little muscle because you've hit the gym. It's another thing to have veins start popping out of your forehead and quads. And the other thing is when the guys you work with and the fat guy next to you in the cubicle starts hitting the gym, well, he gets results. These guys are world-class athletes. It's not like Barry Bonds wasn't hitting the gym when he was jacking 30 home runs a year in a Pirates uniform.
Well, in addition to that, maybe more damning is a lot of veteran players, the ex-players have said, is you don't typically start peaking at age 39. Usually you're in your decline, if not retired. So we can all agree that the evidence would suggest he might very well have knowingly or unknowingly, as I couch it further, use something you shouldn't have. I'm not saying he did, because we don't have that evidence.
Right.
I'll tell you right now, you cannot unknowingly take steroids that'll change your body like that. There's no pill that can be ground up. You got to shoot it in your ass, and it hurts like crazy.
I don't know how old you guys are.
Not the clear. Yes.
I know how old Danny is, because I think he was my age when he was doing the show. But
how old are you?
I don't know. I'm old as hell. I'm going to be 48.
No, I was not 48 when I was doing the show. I was 10.
I'm 29.
How you know how old.
You sound young.
That's how you know how old you know you are. You just watch TV, find the kid who's your age when you're that age watching the TV show, and then however old he is now, that's how I know.
I don't care if Jessica Lange is 57. I'm still in love with her. I'm loyal. That's what matters in our relationship.
It's really because you guys look alike.
Dude, I can get laid by every 52-year-old woman in Hollywood.
Do you mind if I get quickly to my one question? Because,
but we had other stuff I forgot Kenny. To talk about.
I know. This is important.
I was going to say, I don't know how old you guys are, but I remember when Aaron broke Ruth's record. And by the way, my friend Mark Sansfer, which is in the book, broke Ruth's record in one summer of wiffle ball, by the way.
Wow.
It was a beautiful summer of 72. But, we used to turn on the TV, and the TV, we had four channels back then, but the whole nation was into it. I mean, it was this huge, at least in my neighborhood, it felt the whole nation was into it.
It was a big deal.
And what Henry Aaron had to put up with, the racism, everything about it, you know, taking down this great white hero of America and all that. I mean, it was a remarkable thing. And, like, just the way it was described. I just read the quote the other day. I think it was Vin Scully, right, who said it. You know, that how fitting, how great is this that in the deep South, a black man is getting a standing ovation. It sounds ridiculous that we have to say it that way, but,
right.
you know, given the race relations in our country, it was a really breakthrough thing. It was maybe the next step after Jackie Robinson as far as, you know,
acceptance,
on more equal terms, And the country is not looking at this one. It's divided. Some people are going to turn their back on it. You know, Henry Aaron isn't showing up. The commissioner barely is showing up. So
yeah, commissioner said he wasn't sure, and now he says maybe he will. So it is.
He stole my Seattle pilot. What was your question?
Oh, thank you, Kenny.
Geez, that was weeks ago. Go ahead, T.
2 months ago, I barely. Well, because you're
let him go to.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because you're almost a journalist, and because it sounds like you know what you're talking about, I'd like to take your opinion as my own, because I need an opinion on this. Is David Beckham worth the $250 million, and is he going to save soccer?
I don't know that he's going to get all $250. A lot of it is very conditional. It's just a nice number to make it sound even bigger and glossier than it really is. But soccer is never going to surpass football, tackle football in particular.
That's right.
I mean, when you add it up, football, I'm raising my hand really high. You can't see right now. Football's way up here.
Mm-hmm.
And then, believe it or not, NASCAR.
Mm-hmm.
I have to be a fan of the sport, even though I got written up as being a bigot and anti-South a few weeks ago, which I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
That's a long story. We don't have time for that. I said Jebediah and Cletus in the lead-in, okay? I didn't think it was a
set. That's not racist.
All Hicks are named Cletus? That's not true.
Oh. Yeah. So, no way.
I mean, soccer's a great sport, and it seems to have... you know, you look at all these youth soccer, seems like everybody, you know, kids play soccer.
Yeah, those are pussy parents who don't want their kids to get hurt.
Right.
Play football, yeah.
Yes.
But you can only love so many things. You know, the rest of the world worships soccer. They think we're weirdos for liking padded football. In England, they're making fun of my sport for saying, you know, your sissy players got to wear all those pads. And I was like, lady, you don't have any rugby guys that run 4.2 40s, okay? So talk to me when you can stay in the same game. But
yes,
soccer's not going to change overnight in America because he's on his decline. You know, sort of like back when the NASL brought over Pele.
That didn't help.
What's his name?
Yes.
Franz Brecken, whatever the hell his name is.
Look, my parents were trying to get me to play soccer back in the 70s, and they didn't want me to get hurt anymore playing football, and I said, that's for pusses. I don't want to play that stupid sport with the shiny shorts and no shoulder pads or helmet.
And you got orange wedges and boxed drinks at halftime, though. My parents let me play football. I broke my leg 3 times. The last injury, I'm still limping and icing every night from. So it is a dangerous sport.
But
I remember when we had our soccer exchange with the Canadian kids,
mm-hmm.
me and Mark Sansa, the same guy who broke the Babe Ruth home run record in wiffle ball.
Sure.
We go up to Victoria, Victoria, BC, up on Vancouver Island, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And by the way, there's a main island up there. You can look at it on the map. No, you can.
No, you can.
Let's not fight.
And Google Earth. Come on.
Yes.
So these kids, we go out and they say that this is back when your mom was letting you go to Belize.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mom here in Victoria says, yeah, have fun, be home before midnight. We're like 11. And these guys get on a bus and then they start throwing rocks at houses. They're breaking windows. And Mark and I, who could easily reach the house, we intentionally threw short. We just weren't ready to, you know, take out a family on a Thursday night. Yeah. I just thought I'd come clean on that whole thing.
Okay. Hey, Kenny. I'm going to give your website one more plug, and then we're going to go to commercial break because we're running woefully behind. I know, but we're like half an hour behind already, and we're barely into the 8 o'clock
hour. But Kenny's got a lot to say. You can read his book.
Well, wait a minute. I'm going to send you an email. I already sent it to, what's the young lady's name? Real nice. Sounds like a pleasant girl on email. That girl?
Angie, our producer?
Who?
Jay.
No, you mean, the girl.
Angie.
Yeah.
She's an alcoholic.
I give her 3.
Very nice.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Just read the email. It's a personal favor.
I think
you've done a lot for me already today.
No, I know. I know the email, and I will grant you this personal favor.
Ooh. Has your movie been released, sold, developed? What's going on there?
Yeah, it has been sold in... We have a deal for DVD and a deal for, like, cable whatever, but we're still working on the distribution deal.
I want it to come out. I've been told great things about
you
it.
You haven't seen it, Kenny?
No, I was supposed to go, and we were going to do a story in New York City. Then you guys got too busy, and we had to bail on it. Remember
but
that day?
But you heard good things.
Indeed, I did. I think you should release it in Belize.
Thanks, Kenny Mayne. Kenny Mayne, everybody.
Bye.
An incomplete and inaccurate history of sport, which is...
I like the title a lot.
It's going to be out in a scant 10 months, everybody.
He has a lot to say.
But you can... Who?
Kenny Mayne.
That wallflower? Kenny Mayne. Kenny Mayne's writingabook.com is where you go to get in on all the fun. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we have... To Catch a Predator.
Oh, Chris Hansen.
Favorite show. Do we have?
Yeah, take a little listen to something he admitted last night.
I'm horny.
It's getting to him, Adam.
We'll take a quick break. Be back with To Catch a Predator next.
This man is a regular Santa Claus. Strawberries and whipped cream and chocolates and stuffed animals. Oh, you got it all going on, don't you?
Oh, wow.
I should have a seat right over there, please.
Yeah, take a load off. Just keep your hands where I can see them. To Catch a Predator, right now on The Adam Carolla Show.
Fast becoming my favorite show, To Catch a Predator. Not only is it entertaining, but it's... I love it. You know what I love? I love when capitalism gives something back to the community.
I know.
Like, it's one of these things where it's like, hey, the streets are filled with garbage, and everyone's throwing their cans and bottles everywhere, and kids are stepping on them and getting hurt. So you make them worth a nickel, and all of a sudden there's a bunch of people with shopping carts picking them up.
Right.
You know what I mean? I love it when these guys work for a news organization. Their job is to get ratings and to make money. So they get their ratings. We get the pedophiles off the street. Mm-hmm. It's the bum picking up the can and bringing it to the recycling center.
Yeah,
I like
wins.
That.
They, you know what? It's almost the exact vernacular for both incidents. The bum picking up the can.
Yes.
And we get them.
Right.
Vanessa is on line one. Vanessa. Wow.
I think we're actually interrupting a crime as we speak.
Yes. Vanessa?
I'm awesome. Hello.
Hello.
I want to ride the pony, Daddy.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning. What is your comment, Vanessa?
I'm actually, this is going to be directed towards, well, it's to all of you, but a little more towards Teresa.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I listen to you guys all the time, although I haven't been able to lately because I've been home with my kids.
Sure. Couldn't so squeeze a radio into your house.
Well, yeah, I can, but it's a little hectic here in the mornings.
I understand.
However, my husband, whose job he's out and about, you know, in and out of the vehicle a lot, he now listens to your show.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been a loyal sports radio fan, but there's something about Teresa that keeps him tuned in.
That keeps him tuned in.
Yeah.
Yes.
Beautiful
so
velvety tone, Teresa.
He enjoys listening. He loves the topics. He thinks you guys are hilarious. I mean, he's never really, it's like I said, it's always been sports radio for him.
Mm-hmm.
But now there's something, and every time it's always, oh, Teresa this, Teresa that.
What is with Teresa's the Jew? Voice.
She's the thinking man's sex symbol.
Right.
Or the blind man's. Whatever way you want to do it. It has the word man on the end of it.
Comment because every time he's like, they make it sound like she's so ugly or so this or so that. I mean, and so I got him on to your MySpace page,
mm-hmm.
and he saw Teresa's picture, and he disagrees with anyone who would say
no.
She's
hot if you're into that sort of thing.
Vanessa, you are so sweet. Thank you so much. And it's nice that your husband has a crush on me. He obviously has very good taste because you sound lovely.
Kenny,
you're a great big fan person.
There you go.
This call has had an amazing effect on Teresa, and I don't mean to embarrass you, Teresa. Adam, could you just take a look over at Teresa right now?
Yes.
What?
Your skirt's lifted up completely.
It's a mini. Where
no,
do you want
you
it to go?
No, you had it lifted up. I was looking right at the crazy thing.
Yeah.
You got excited.
Just call my vagina crazy.
Well, I didn't want to call it vagina. It seemed too personal, so I called it that crazy thing.
May I briefly mention that my ex-boyfriend was very upset about short skirts or short shorts.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't want me going out in public dressing like that.
Sure.
I don't know why. He's from the South and kind of old-fashioned. The new man loves the minis. So every day,
Mini. Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it divides guys right across the middle. Yeah. They're the guys who like their ladies to look hot because, well, A, they get to look at them, and B, other guys are looking at them, but that's mine, that, mine that you're looking at.
Yeah.
And then the others say, I don't want that kind of attention.
Right.
It's probably divided amongst the same guys in the cars they drive. They're guys that want to pull up in a Ferrari. They want to be seen getting out of the Ferrari and have everyone look at them and know they've arrived.
Yeah.
And then they're the guys who just want the beige tours because they don't want to worry about it and don't want all eyes upon them.
Well, I mean, this is an interesting question for you, Adam, because your wife is unbelievably beautiful. She's a goddess, and particularly certain parts are hard to miss.
Mm-hmm.
Are you okay with her
I don't like attention.
No, I knew that. Because you're a car guy, I wasn't going to go. Once you said the gray Taurus, I ignored the comment.
I mean, Lynette
but aside
is,
from the car, I knew that about you.
Lynette's a showstopper, basically.
I don't, well, thank you, or she should thank you, although you guys will not be going out again.
No! I love Lynette. You can't keep me away from her.
To get drunk while I'm at work.
You can't keep me away from her.
Why don't you go back to your home on Whore Island?
The point is I have a lot of nice cars, but I never drive them anywhere. I go in a circle, and then I come back to my house. I never go to a restaurant because I don't want that attention.
Yeah.
So as far as the beautiful wife and the attention, no, I don't like the mini skirts and the plunging necklines, and I don't like getting out of the Ferrari with it.
Right, but you like having it.
I like having it,
right.
Yes, but I don't like being praised for it or being seen with it because I'm just low profile. I would never drive a convertible for that same reason. But, yes, it's nice to go down to the garage and take a look at my beautiful babies.
I'm the other guy. Mm-hmm. I want all men to want the things I have and can't have them.
Yeah.
And that includes the woman I am with. And I like plunging necklines. I don't want you to look like a tramp. I want you to look like an elegant whore, what I do. But I want other
classic
people to want you, and I enjoy that. And every now and again, it's a chick. And that just happened the other night, and it was bitching. I just watched this chick hit on Amy so hard. And then I went home.
Chick. Yeah. Oh, I never even thought about
and
the
And then
chick
I went
part.
Home and hit on Amy so hard. Because it was very exciting, because this chick was 6-something, and she said it was in Atlanta. She said, oh, I'm always out in Los Angeles.
6 years old. Good segue to catch a predator.
Something. Could have been 6 and 4 months.
Tall.
Oh, I see.
She said, I'm always out in L.A. modeling. Could we get together then? And then Amy had a few beers, and I said, come on, at least play along. And she brushed the side of the girl's face, and I just went, oh, my God, I'm in heaven.
Well, is she going to play along?
No, not far enough. But give me time. She's only been my girlfriend for 4 months.
Tell me if she plays along so I can play along.
Dude, it'll be our whole show. The day I get her to actually do it.
Yeah.
Is it creepy to talk about To Catch a Predator now?
Yes, but we're going to do it anyway.
Damn right.
Ah, well, Chris Hansen was in New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
At the undercover house on the Jersey Shore. And despite the fact that now most of the pedophiles have watched NBC's To Catch a Predator, they still show up to meet usually girls posing as 12, 13, or 14, sometimes boys. This first guy, Anthony Palumbo, thought he was meeting a 15-year-old boy with whom he had chatted online. Anthony is 46.
Mm-hmm.
He goes by the name Hi Buddy, What's Up? And here he is.
I'm horny, you say.
I was just fooling around.
Well, if you're just fooling around, then why were you so concerned about knowing whether or not he was a cop?
Just joking.
Just joking. So what made you decide to come over here and meet a teenage boy after this sexually explicit conversation?
I thought it was like I wanted to hang out with someone, like a friend. Like I thought he was like 18, something like that. It wasn't, I'm not gay or anything. I'm just saying.
Well, this isn't about gay
or
straight.
No, I'm just saying. I'm straight.
Nobody cares what adults do.
No, I'm just saying.
He's just saying.
He's just saying. By the way, he's also Ray Romano, apparently.
Yeah.
A little bit. That one made me sad.
By the way, computer is the best way for that guy to communicate.
Yeah.
Over the phone, I don't think he's going to catch a lot of young kids.
By the way, I don't mean to offend anyone, but in Jersey, it's probably easy to play who's not a predator.
Yeah, yeah.
It'd be faster.
Let's get the three guys who aren't predators.
Well, let's listen to Michael Murray. He's 43, and he happened to show up at the same time that another guy was being busted.
Bad times.
You'll hear at the beginning the decoy. She's actually an 18-year-old who Chris Hansen, when we interviewed him, told us that she is actually the young woman who lives at the decoy house.
Mm.
She plays, you know, a 12-year-old or 13-year-old or 14-year-old. She's actually 18. So here she is, and also Chris Hansen.
He had his McDonald's bag. He was all excited. Came walking in.
Hey, why don't you come in over here? We're having a little conversation. Please join us.
What did I do wrong?
Just come here. We'll chat for a minute.
Nope.
Come on in.
I'm leaving. All right.
I'd like to talk to you.
About what?
About a couple things.
I'm leaving. I'm sorry. I didn't know what was going on.
Why don't you explain that to me?
Nothing.
After the 43-year-old makes a quick exit...
Get down on the ground.
Police arrest him and try to keep him quiet.
What do you mean? Get up. Get in here.
But Murray... In not jelly beans? Stop crying.
Keep quiet. I can't. I gotta get the truck back.
It's real sad.
He's gotta get his truck back?
He's gotta get his truck back.
I thought he said his chalk.
He's crying, but you know, here's probably the most disturbing predator that showed up on last night's episode. Mm-hmm. I don't know if our program director, Jack Silver, is in yet, and I hope he's not. Mm. Because Jack Silver, who is our boss, showed up on last night's episode.
Wow.
He's been chatting online with a decoy for 2 weeks. Calling himself Loverman Genius, he spells genius incorrectly. Have you seen this show?
Oh, yeah! Huge fan! Heard you on O&A!
Oh, you listen to me on Opie and Anthony?
That's my favorite morning show! I mean my second favorite morning show! Wink, wink! Send me an air chip. You might have an opening at the end of the year. I think in January. Or as I call it, Manuary. Silver, you genius.
Well, what do you do?
Well, I don't want to say I'm the star of a very successful syndicated morning show, but I am the brains behind the operation.
Why can't you get a room? I mean, there's got to be girls your age out there.
Hanson, have you ever seen a chick with gray pubes? God hasn't made a Viagra pill large enough to get Jack Spooge Caboose back on the tracks to Goochtown.
I don't even know what he's saying.
I think it was a rap song.
Wow.
All right, we need to take ourselves a break. We have much more to Catch Predator to go. I believe Jack even got busted for a second time. We have that as well, too. So we'll do that next.
On the Adam Carolla Show.
Ozzy called in 5 minutes ago, and he wanted us to wish him and his wife a happy anniversary.
Oh. I remember last year. A year ago. So that must have been new. Happy anniversary, Ozzy.
21 years.
And yeah, Sylvia.
He's on the phone with El Cucuy right now trying to ask for the same request, I'm sure.
Ampioline.
All right. T.
Yes.
More To Catch a Predator news.
Well, Adam, you mentioned that Chris Hansen and his NBC show To Catch a Predator, National Treasures, because they make money while also making the streets more safe for our young people.
Mm.
In 11 investigations in 8 states, so far, 117 men have either pleaded guilty or been found guilty. 117.
That's amazing.
It's a lot.
Well, it's a lot, in especially when it comes to predators and pedophiles, because their victims go on to victimize others, and thus they victimize others, and it's almost like a disease.
Yeah. Right?
I mean, AIDS started with one guy.
Patient zero.
One flight attendant who came back and humped another guy, and before you know it, pow.
Hadn't thought of that. So if you catch one predator, you're almost catching 5.
I would say maybe more.
Exponentially.
I mean,
that's really interesting.
Very. I never thought of it that way. It's absolutely true. And last night, there was a really young guy named John Donnelly, 21 years old, and he was busted. And here he explains how he ended up going to this home on the New Jersey shore to meet an underage girl.
I've just been really depressed lately. I don't know what I was thinking, sir. I know I said all that stupid about having sex and stuff like that. I've only had sex with one girl in my life. I wouldn't have felt comfortable doing that. Every day I can't sleep because I've been thinking, this is stupid, John. Do you know how much trouble this? Why would you sleep with a 14-year-old girl? And that's why I never wanted to. It's disgusting.
Well, I would make a couple of arguments if I were these guys. Here's what I would say. First off, you know, my Candygram idea.
Right.
Anytime I'm hooking up with a chick on the internet, Candygram for Chris Hansen. I send a guy who's got a bow tie and a big heart-shaped box, and I just stand across the street in dark glasses, and
You're
wait.
You're naked.
And if a guy answers the phone, you know, if a hot chick answers the door and says, who? Chris Hansen. Nobody by that name lives here. Then I move in for the kill.
Perfect.
If I see Hansen, you know, fluttering his eyelids and going for me, then I keep moving.
Smart move.
So that's smart move number one.
Nobody can turn down a box of chocolates.
Smart move number two is I would go in there and I would say, hey, Chris Hansen from To Catch a Predator. Sure. I know the show. I knew you guys were doing this. And I know the model you use is 18. So where is she? Because I'm horny.
Wait a second. I think that could actually play. That could play in a court of law because it's the intention to have sex with a minor. That's the crime. And if you intended to have sex with an 18-year-old decoy, it's not illegal.
So where would you say your intention started? Months ago with the initial letter, because you still knew, even months ago, this was probably Chris Hansen at the end of this letter.
You argue it was perverted justice that was doing it.
I knew who it was, and I know they only use of-age models, and they're usually hot, so I'm going to ask again, where is she?
Yeah.
And do you want to hang out and watch?
You can film it if you want. She's over 18. I know that to be a fact.
As a matter of fact, Chris, I like to carb load before I have sex with someone who's of age. So do you have any of those Toll House cookies and sweet tea?
Yeah, I take it you're a virgin.
It's brownies. Now. And by the way, this is a really nice of you to help pedophiles.
Sure. I'm always looking for an A.
You know what? I'll tell you. To be honest with you, Teresa, a victim or victimless, genius is genius.
Right.
And that was genius.
You can't steer genius.
The evil genius is just as genius as the good genius.
Sure.
There are degrees to me. It's not just pedophile. There are the 40-year-old guys who do it to the 3-year-old boys, the priest with the 9-year-old boys or whoever it is. And then there are the 21-year-old guys who want to be the 15-year-old or 14 or whatever she is, ain't right, but it's fine in most of the countries on this planet and has been going on for thousands of years.
I know. I mean, if they were
hopefully 20, we've outgrown it, right. But there's something much creepier about the guys in his 50s and the boy who is 9 years old.
Right. I felt the same. If they were 21 and 28, it would still be a 7-year difference, but it wouldn't seem creepy. Obviously, it's illegal and creepy, but it seems less creepy than, for example, a 60-year-old,
mm-hmm.
like the 60-year-old engineer who showed up. NJ Dom 4F is his screen name.
All those engineers.
Mm-hmm.
He brought some presents. As they often do, let's take a listen to this 60-year-old.
He also tells her he'll bring a webcam, candles, a bra, and a thong. After weeks of describing online the different sex acts he wants to perform on the decoy, NJ Dom 4F suddenly says he needs to talk to his lawyer. Just as he's about to leave to meet her, he tells the decoy that, according to his lawyer, they can't do anything.
Feverish.
I want to work at that law office. Hello, you've reached the law office of Rateberg, Rufy Witz, and Molestine.
Wow. Jesus.
Yeah, I'd like to talk to Stan Goldman. Hello. Yeah, listen, I'm thinking about having consensual sex with a minor. Knock yourself out.
That's all right with us.
Yeah, I've drafted up some papers. You might want to have them sign it so it's all above the board. Like, you talk to your lawyer? Do you think he really talked to his lawyer?
No, I don't think he really
knows. I think he talked to Google.
He may have talked to his lawyer because I believe, first of all, in the state of New Jersey, the age of consent is 16.
Mm-hmm.
So he may have checked some books on that. I might be mistaken, but I believe the consent age in New Jersey is 16.
Mm-hmm. It's also one of those things I've been saying for a million years. Can't we just come up with a number? I mean, we've all agreed that alcohol's 21 and the military is 18. Most everything is either 18 or 21. We could go ahead and figure out, you know, do a catch weight like 19 and a half or something with the booze in the military. But the age of consent in Hawaii is different than the age of consent in Montana, which is different than the age of consent in Nebraska.
I believe there's a state with an age of consent of 14.
Mm-hmm. Listen, Danny, you're on the road. You can't keep track of this.
Well, all I'm saying is if the age of consent in New Jersey is not 16, I will not feel comfortable going back there.
Well, what should the age be if it should be uniform within all of our states?
It depends. Are they going to arrest the girl as well?
Should be done by weight.
I see.
Anyone over 130 pounds is fair game. That's the way I look at it.
What about them fat babies on Jerry Springer?
Done and done.
Okay.
Well, there's one more predator you really have to hear from. He, this is unbelievable. The recidivism rate is very high for Jack Silver. He's our boss. He's the program director here at KLSX. And it seems like every time Chris Hansen is doing an investigation into these child predators, he shows up as if he doesn't know what he's walking into. And unfortunately, this is embarrassing because he's our boss and he programs here. He not only showed up to meet a young girl, but he brought weed.
Oh. He wants the decoy to smell the marijuana he brought.
I brought the sticky icky. Oh, speaking of sticky icky, you got a paper towel? Little Jack may have just jumped the gun.
Sit down, I made some brownies.
The brownies have been sitting out for more than a day. We didn't realize it, but by now, they've turned rock hard.
What's so funny about the brownies?
I thought they were going to be Girl Scouts! Jackman's got a sleeve of thin mints melting between his legs.
What do you think would have happened if I wasn't here?
I'd be baked off my ass with a 14-year-old watching porn and listening to Dark Side of the Moon. Froze, if you should try it sometime, it totally syncs up. It'll blow your f***ing mind, man.
Jack's out of his bean on that weed.
He's crazed, man.
I don't know if that guy, well, I was going to say, I don't know if that guy should be running a radio station, but actually, it's the only safe place for him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
What other job is there?
Yeah, running an airline, a preschool. No, a radio station is one of the few jobs where you can be high out of your mind and still be effective.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, not that bright. You don't have to be that bright to run a radio station, I don't think.
I don't know. You don't have to be that anything. And you can still be successful. All right. Oh, there's Jack now.
Great timing. Our boss. Very good sport.
All right. T.
Yes.
We'll put a fork in the To Catch a Predator,
yeah,
at least this week's edition. Don't worry. We'll be back with that. I think we'll do the news coming up next. What do you got, T?
Have you heard about this cat at the old age home that every time someone's going to die, the cat shows up?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's an unbelievable story.
Harbinger of death, yes.
Yes, we'll discuss
and
that.
The joke's too easy.
And also, was Lindsay Lohan driving the car?
Kind
of intrigue coming out this morning.
We'll get to the bottom of that next on The Adam Carolla Show.
Great moments in local news.
CBS has found a replacement host for its hit game show, The Price is Right. Drew Carey, come on down.
That's a great moment in local news. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Gambling addicted sexual deviant Drew Carey. Come on down.
Yeah, there's something wholesome and Midwestern about him at the same time.
Yep.
Yeah, his appearance.
Yeah.
Because everything else is a perv.
I know, because I think that guy's like a dungeon and stuff in his house.
Weird. Apparently, the suits over there saw his audition tape for that other game show he's doing, and he was so good they had to have him.
He's very likable.
He collects bizarre videos of all types, and he's the only one I know who has a video of my dad choking Bonnie Franklin on the set of One Day at a Time.
Oh, really? Oh, those kind of videos.
Anytime.
I bet he has a lot of stuff in his collection.
He has a lot of weird German stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good times.
Yeah.
I love Drew Carey.
Yeah, why not? T?
Yes.
What's going on in the news, baby girl?
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
Speaking of debauchery, a lot of it went down last weekend at a John Mayer concert in Hershey, Pennsylvania. 63 people were arrested. 46 of them for underage drinking.
Six more people in Hershey, Pennsylvania, and we'd have had two of the easiest jokes in the world.
Yeah.
69 people were arrested.
Busted in Hershey. Yeah, just too easy.
All right, so he's not.
Did you hear Bald Brian's Miata broke down on the main highway over there?
Where?
Yeah, what highway is that?
He drives a purple Miata, and he told me he was going to the Mayor concert and broke down on Hershey Highway the other day.
Okay, time has passed.
His boyfriend's body is a wonderland.
Oh, yep, it is.
So John was very upset.
What is with the Jew?
Mm-hmm.
Very upset about all these underage drinkers at his show. And I don't know if you realize, but John Mayer blogs.
Yeah.
So he outlined a pretty straightforward plan to stop kids from getting hammered at his shows. And here's what he writes. If I happen to be walking backstage and I see any of you young men passed out drunk on a stretcher, make no mistake about it. You will come to in front of your disappointed parents with a face full of Sharpie and the sneaking suspicion that you've been teabagged by one of Time Magazine's 100 Most Influential People of 2007.
Damn, the kid's got a sense of humor.
God love him. God love him.
And as you know, he was one of Time Magazine's most influential people of 2007. So he's basically threatening
to teabag you while you're passed out. Awesome. Right. You should hang out with Ray.
John Mayer is growing on me.
I know when Ray found out about teabagging, he's like, oh, they have a name for that? And then he wanted credit.
Yeah.
Okay, now here is a story out of South Korea. Earlier this month, they found a mummy over 500 years old.
Mm.
One interesting thing about this particular mummy, He has hepatitis B.
What kind of sick anthropologist would even think about going there?
It's only 500 years old. He got it from Pam Anderson.
Oh, really?
Oh.
That's sad.
Funny, but sad. So this mummy has obviously been wrapped up, mummified, if you will.
He should have been wrapped up a little tighter when he was alive.
Yeah. The mummy's liver tested positive for hepatitis B. It's the first mummy ever to have a sexually transmitted disease. Now, scientists are very excited about this because they can now compare a 500-year-old hepatitis B to today's and see how it evolved over the centuries. And with that information, they may be able to help people who have it today.
Mm, sounds like they're playing God. I don't know if I like it.
They shouldn't investigate the hep.
Well, first you do this, you're examining mummies' livers, and the next thing you know, you're getting into stem cell research, and then what do we got?
People cured from disease.
People getting out of wheelchairs and walking.
We don't want that.
No, we don't.
Cure for cancer?
Please. Alzheimer's? No way.
I'm telling you right now, you take those special parking spaces away so they have to walk like regular folk, I'll be pretty damn happy about it.
Well, I wanted to play you guys something quickly. Because I know a lot of people are looking forward to the Simpsons movie.
Apparently not the cast.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently not the cast. And there's a theme song for the Simpsons movie by Green Day. Punk rock version.
Does anybody ever sing?
I think it's instrumental.
Not one of Green Day can play this well.
Yes, they can. They're good.
They're a great band. I love them. But I don't think they're that talented. This is some pretty amazing riffs going on right here.
Well, they're in the studio.
Paul Bryan almost yelled at me.
They've over-whatevered, but I think they're all really good musicians. I think they're capable of this. Yeah,
they're very well-regarded.
I think they're probably one of my favorite bands, but I don't think of them as being great musicians like in the Clapton, Van Halen kind of category.
Great live band. That's why I think they're good musicians. Well, their drummer's good, their bass player's good, and their guitar player's good,
I will happily then stand corrected.
Well, here's what you're hearing here, though. I mean, I'm sure maybe Billy Joe lays the lick down and then overdubs or samples or mixes or whatever you do in the studio. But still, one of my favorite live bands, Green Day.
One of my favorite bands altogether. But I, you know what? It was a prejudice. Any band that is a favorite of my 12-year-old daughters, I just assume isn't that good. So that I'm going to stand by. I'm going to apologize.
I'm the same way except for with myself.
By the way, speaking of apologies, we're about 20 minutes away from my court-ordered apology.
Oh, yeah.
I would like to remind people that the fact that it is ordered by the court takes nothing away from the sincerity of the apology. I just wouldn't have known I owed anyone one had I not been contacted by the court.
Is this your first live court-ordered apology, Danny?
Yes, but it's not my first on-air apology. I don't mind at all. This doesn't bother me.
This one's court-ordered.
Yeah, no, and I told the guy yesterday, the city attorney, Arturo Perez, when I was sitting in his office waiting to go to jail over a couple of comments on this radio station, and I said to him, dude, this is no big deal to me. I say I'm sorry all the time. I kid really hard. If I hurt anybody's feelings, I'll always say, is this really all you want? Is this a sincere apology?
Mm-hmm.
I'll go to this person's house and apologize. And he went, bad idea. Why don't you not go anywhere near them? Oh, all right, okay. Mr. Garth.
That's Arturo Perez.
Perez. DA?
Mm-hmm. Is a city attorney and a very nice gentleman. As a matter of fact, when I was done talking to him, I said, you know, I've been looking for lofts in this neighborhood for like a month. He goes, go across the street, the Pan American. It's really good. And I did, and they're awesome.
Wow.
And then I had lunch in the restaurant he recommended.
Well, he sounds like a reasonable guy.
You know what's great about living in Los Angeles? You don't know what goddamn country you're in, because if Arturo Perez doesn't like what you're saying, this may go all the way to Villaraigosa's office. So you're like, I got to go see Perez and about Villaraigosa. And then you're like, where are we again?
He made that perfectly clear, not the Villaraigosa part, but he made it perfectly clear that if I don't like your answers, this can step right over into criminal charges.
Yeah, I mean, Danny actually could have been arrested and gone to jail.
Sure.
If he had said the wrong
thing. Actually, on the spot.
On the spot.
Yeah.
Well, let me just get to this briefly, very briefly.
Just want to remind you that's coming up.
Yes, I am
sincere apology.
Very curious and interested in this. I would not miss it. Now, Oscar is a 2-year-old cat.
You would if you're allowed to leave, but yes, go ahead.
Well, emotionally, I will be checking out.
I see.
It's going to hurt
the
a lot.
The cat.
It's going to hurt. Oscar is a 2-year-old cat. He lives at the Steerhouse Nursing and Rehabilitation Center. They treat Alzheimer's and Parkinson's patients in Providence, Rhode Island.
All right, Longhorns over this way. Heifers on the left.
Now, here's why we're hearing about Oscar the cat.
Jerseys, you clear out. We got no space for you.
Oscar the cat, who is 2, has now made a lot of news because for each of the last 25 people who passed away at Steer, a few hours before they died, Oscar curled up next to them.
Medication at noon, branding at 2.
He makes almost no mistakes. He knows when these oldsters are about to pass away. He's almost perfect at predicting who's going to die and when. Now, nobody there is really clear on how he does it. And the good news is the patients are often so ill, they don't realize that the feline Grim Reaper it's crawled up next to them.
When you guys are done at the water trough, we're going to watch Cocoon in the rec room.
Can I tell you how it's done?
Yes.
A cat curled up to one guy, and that guy died. Maybe it curled up next to another guy, and that guy died. Then a nurse said to himself, allegedly, hey, this is kind of cool. So what happens is the cat goes and curls up next to anybody, and the nurse kills him.
Mercy cat.
Oh, you know what? I'm glad you mentioned that because we're going to actually have a doctor.
And I meant to apologize to all nurses.
Sorry to all nurses and doctors.
And I didn't mean it, and my words mean nothing, and I'm a high school dropout.
We are going to talk about Oscar the cat.
To be fair, the high school left Danny.
Yes, that's true. That is true.
It wasn't like he dropped out of the high school. No, he just showed up one day and they were gone.
Right. They ran. Well, cowards.
We have a doctor from the nursing home coming on next to tell us about Oscar. How the little cat knows when people are about to go.
All right. Well, we'll talk to Dr. Joan Tenno, I believe her name is, next, who's a doctor at the facility, next on the Adam Carolla Show.
See Montgomery Burns. If you call Adam right now at 866-901-ADAM, it will be excellent.
Well, the story all over the news is the cat that sucks the life out of the old folks.
Well, I think Oscar, the 2-year-old cat, just knows when the old folks are going to pass over at the Steerhouse Nursing and Rehabilitation Center, which is in Providence, Rhode Island. About 25 times now, this cat has curled up to a patient who's moving on.
And they always do that thing where, whoa, the cats were acting weird before the earthquake.
Yeah.
The animals knew. Maybe this is the case, or maybe it's just one of those things, and this happens a lot in science, where you go, well, people that are going to die in a day or two don't do a whole lot of hopping around in bed. Cat doesn't tired of being pushed off or rolled over on by the guy with the restless leg syndrome. So maybe you just hop on the bed where there's the least movement.
Good point.
That's what I used to do for 17 years.
But if it turns out that this cat actually is says it is, I may need to borrow him. Dr. Joan Tenno?
Good morning.
Good morning.
So I see you're going the way. Is this cat the kitten of death, or is this the grim creeper?
Yes.
Aww. No, I'm actually not going that way. Here was my theory, and believe me, it's just me, and I get nobody believes anything I say anyway. But I say there's an orderly or something that this cat was around a couple of people that died and thought this might be fascinating. And you should check the whereabouts of your staff and all these deaths.
You know, I actually think what's going on is Oscar is a very unusual cat, and he, in the past 25 deaths in the past 2 years at this facility, he has been in the room for the last 2 to 4 hours of life, and I actually think he's probably sensing a toxin that's released from the body, smelling it, and is coming in the room, and he's also mimicking the behavior of the staff, because this is really a wonderful nursing home who always holds vigils for people who are dying and provide aromatherapy and all the wonderful things that you and I would wish for while we're dying.
Are they doing a report? I hear they're doing a study on Oscar the cat.
You know, we were very fortunate to publish a perspective piece in New England Journal about Oscar, and we have not submitted him to scientific study, but I'm sitting here with about 30 requests that they want to come up and study Oscar, and they want to see if he's the deaf angel or whether there's a biochemical basis to this.
I want to study Oscar the Grouch, see what he's up to.
Yeah, it's... Are you guys hearing this echo? Because
yeah.
For a doctor, and of course I admire you just for your abilities as a physician, but you are really well spoken at not spinning, because this is just an interesting story, but I had very sinister ideas in my head. Mm-hmm. And now I've got this loving place where you send your elderly who have, you know, they're terminally ill, they hold a vigil for you. If you ever decide to quit being a doctor, you should think about politics.
You know, that would be like a step worse than hell.
You are a good doctor.
First off, it's called Steer House. Is there something I'm missing in that? Is it named after somebody?
Toward the light.
Yes.
It's named after someone. It's a really wonderful nursing home in Providence, Rhode Island. Mm-hmm. It's just a place where it's very family-centered and patient-centered. And it's actually, you know, of the nursing homes that I work at, it's always a joy to go there because people really care about the patients, and you know the patients are getting excellent care. And it's sort of the care that you would want for your mom or your dad.
Also, best ribeye in the state of Maryland, and they invented the potato with the foil on it.
Actually, if you could just fly that cat out to my mom's house in North Hollywood and force it to lay on her bed, I'd be greatly appreciative.
What kind of toxins do people release when they're about to die?
You know, I have to admit one thing that has happened is I've had some family members ask me, can you have Oscar go into my mom's room?
No.
Oh, no.
It doesn't work that way.
Right.
You know?
No, your mom has to silently summon Oscar.
Right, with her toxins.
Well, at least that's the theory.
That'd be easy for me.
Someone else has another theory. Howard? Howard from Sherman Oaks?
Yeah, I'm here.
Wow. Jeez. You have a theory?
Yeah, you know, I was wondering, like, Danny came up with a theory or an idea that maybe it's one of the staff members that are secretly doing something and using the cat as an excuse.
Right.
But what I was thinking is maybe this cat is curling up and actually suffocating the patient, because the patient dies within several hours of the cat going into the room.
Mm-hmm. So smothering the life out of the patient.
Right,
so,
and nobody's brought that up.
Well, death by cat on your face is just such an easy joke that all of us are above it.
How'd Grandpa die? Eating?
See?
Wow.
Too easy.
Son of a gun.
It was uncomfortable when we found Grandpa dead with...
Yeah.
Still, speaking of Grandpa, my grandmother told me once that they're like 10 women to every one guy at the nursing home men die,
right,
you know, 8 years, 7 years younger than women. Is that true? Is there quite a few more ladies at the house than there are fellas?
That's very true. And I'm sure if one of you are really desperate, I can hook you up with a very nice old lady.
I love this doctor.
There are a lot of lonely old ladies at the at the Steer House.
Since
the
invention of Viagra, has this become a bit of a nightmare for you?
I'm sorry. I had a staff member writing me a note here, and I was distracted.
Get your composure, bitch. It's what it's about. You're a doctor. Are you high?
For God's sakes, why are you even talking to these people?
Well, I mean it. We're on the phone with Dr. Joan Tenno. She works at the Steer House, which is where Oscar the cat is. We've been all over the news. I did talk to my grandmother many years ago and said, wow, that'll be awesome. I'll be 85 and nailing every old broad in the old folks home. And she said, what makes you think you're going to be the one guy who makes it? That's, thanks,
ooh,
Granny.
Yeah.
That and your praise of Ricky Rackman. Really going far.
Well, Dr. Joan, do you feel like the residents there at the Steer House are sexually active at times?
Not that I know of. You have to remember, this is an end-stage dementia unit, and for the most part, these people are very vegetative and really not
I'm waiting for the Gretchen joke.
Slow down. You're
I was going for Brian on this one.
Slow down. You're making me hot.
So they're vegetative.
Yeah, so they're barely, minimally reactive.
I call that low-hanging fruit, baby. I don't call it vegetables.
Year seven of any marriage.
This is disgusting. Dr. Joan, you're a great sport.
You really
thank
are.
Thank you.
And by the way, just thank you for doing what no one else wants to do. And all you people who, you know, it's one thing to make a, you know, most people set out to make a living to see how much money they can make.
Right.
And then others who do things that aren't for the dollar, well, they do stuff for the kudos. You know, firemen, you don't get rich, but it's a cool gig.
Yeah.
You do get a lot of, you get a lot of tail, and you hang out with guys and play foosball for the better part of the day and eat sloppy joes every night. It's an awesome gig. But the kind of people that work in the hospices that go to the old, you know, you're a doctor, but not a plastic surgeon in Miami,
right.
You're working with people in vegetative states. I mean, God bless you, Joan Tenno. Really.
Nice.
You have to see people dying almost every day, right?
I do. And, you know, I think it's important that these people are not abandoned by our healthcare system. And you may not be able to cure them, but you can definitely care for them.
Mm.
Have you seen Michael Moore's new movie?
No, I haven't, because to tell you the truth, I'm very fortunate. I just came back from 3 weeks abroad with my oldest niece who just graduated from high school.
Sex tour of Thailand. I take everything back that I said about this woman.
Totally perverse.
Good times, Joan Tenno. You're doing the Lord's work.
Yes.
Thank you, okay. Doctor.
And give Oscar a little couple extra giblets tonight, yes?
He'll get them. Thank
All
you
right.
very
Good
much.
Good times.
I mean, you're absolutely right, Adam. The hospice workers are some of the most angelic people. All they do is watch people die and watch their loved ones get sad. That's a very difficult job.
Well, I mean, first of all, I believe that that woman, Joan, on the phone there is exactly the kind of person Adam was describing, and you were describing an angel who goes there and gives care. But I do think there are some people that work in homes where people's entire reason for being there is to wait for death are there because there's something creepy about them.
There's usually something that draws people to everything that is personal and not always because of the other person. Meaning, I mean, I always say it this way. There's people that donate $50 million to a campus so they can have a library erected with their name on it.
Right.
Is that the place where they hide the books?
That's the place where they hide the books.
Thank
yeah.
you.
That's right. Sometimes people try to break in and steal the books. I don't know why. But the point is... They did it so they could have their name on a building that will be there for the next 1,000 years, but it's still a very nice thing to do.
Right. Yeah.
I feel that way with people like Joan, which is, I'm sure there's a reason. Maybe she would rather deal with these people than these. Imagine most of your patients driving you nuts.
Yeah.
Paging you at 4 a.m. because they have gas. She gets to, as a doctor, avoid all that. And I'm sure there's something in it for her to avoid all that, but she's still doing the Lord's work.
Yeah, I think by nature that's a true, real live, decent person right there.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You don't
want
to do them that often.
We also, you can have a cat, too.
That's nice.
When people are in a vegetative state and you work in a place where people are in a vegetative state, you get to play the stereo as loud as you want. You get to have as many cats as you want. Every day is casual Friday. It's not like the 9-year-old veg is going to lean up and write you up for something.
Yes.
Yeah, and also, are these vegetative patients going to miss one or two Vicodin?
Good point,
wow.
D.
I can't believe I missed that. speaking of, remember the Iraq veteran that called us the other day?
Yes, and been all, John.
And he said,
Ron,
how he said that his dog had changed his life, his trained dog.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Do you know, I just found out after that phone call, that's what Amy's mom does, is train those dogs. She was so thrilled to hear that on the radio. She trains service dogs.
Interesting.
She's also a professor. This is a smart group of people, these pastors. But that's what he does. And when that guy said, a real-life vet, on the air, my dog changed my life, that's when I found out that's what Amy's mom does for a living. And I just thought, well, that is so cool.
We haven't completely forgotten about him either. We have money we want to raise for him and things we want to do for him. We're just trying to work it out. Quick break. Back with Danny's controversial apology.
Court-ordered
apology next.
It's the Adam Carolla Show with Danny Bonaducci and Teresa Strasser. And now, Adam Carolla.
Oh, hey, there you go, everybody. Quick update on Ron?
Yeah, just a point of information. Ron, the veteran who called in, a lot of people were very concerned about him. He's making a speedy recovery, but does have a lot of injuries. He wrote in on MySpace to me saying, thank you for listening to my story and having put the website Canines for Combat wounded.org on the show's website. I've had lots of great emails and donations because of you guys. Also, a friend of the guys from West Coast Customs from Pimp My Ride has donated a dog to one of the soldiers on my website. Wow, that's great. Please tell Daddy and Annam thank you from Sergeant Ron Portillo.
Thank you, Sergeant.
And there's an old age home that wants to donate a cat.
Oscar.
Fun, I just found out.
But that makes me feel good that our listeners donated. So thank you to our listeners.
Thank you. We're few, but we're proud.
Yes.
Right.
We're like Braves going up against the pale face. I don't know.
Well, it's a customer's not standing there.
Yes.
Kick their ass.
That'll involve another apology, but first, Danny,
yes. What is the apology? The court ordered apology.
Well, I only call it because I want to make sure this is perfectly clear, as I made it very clear to Mr. Perez. It's a sincere apology. It's court ordered because I would have never known I owed anybody an apology had the police not come to my home and informed me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they didn't. They came to my home and informed me I could be going to jail.
Mm-hmm.
It was the city attorney that informed me yesterday that I owed an apology.
Really think Bonaducci needs a heads up that he might be going to jail? I feel like that's something you probably knew since junior high, 8th, 9th grade.
Okay, person I am offering the apology to, and City Attorney Perez, I would like to make it clear at this juncture, I am not responsible for the two grown people beside me. I am only responsible for what I say, and I'd like to make that as clear as crystal. Because
mm-hmm.
I could just see Corolla going bad on me, trying to send me to prison for a joke.
When you're giving Bonaducci the heads up he might be going to jail, swing by Michael Moore's place and inform him he may be eating dinner. Because I'm sure he's going to need to know.
So it's interesting how this unfolded. There is somebody who allegedly made me mad, but didn't really. This is just a radio show, and somebody in this room was upset at some thing, mm-hmm. and I decided to be the tough guy in the room, again, allegedly. I would say, here's what I'll do for making my friends mad. Well, it turned out that the person that I was saying that about, although I don't know that they actually really existed or their name or anything, I was just saying, you make my friends mad, I'll do this.
Right.
Got very, very, very frightened. I guess maybe they watched my TV show or something and thought I would really do it. My threat, if you will, is so over the top. It's like I'm going to show up in a Sherman tank, and then you better watch out. It was just crazy.
Were
but
they
still
frightened, truly frightened that you would carry that out, or just saying, look, F with me, I'll F with you?
Don't know, don't care. Don't care.
Right.
All I know is that Arturo Perez is listening right now, and so is the young person involved, and I'm just going to apologize. And like I said, I do it all the time. If you were listening a few moments ago,
right.
I said, nobody from Green Day can play this well. And I said, yeah, they actually can, and went through the thing. And I went, you know what? You're right. I'm sorry. I stand corrected. I do it all the time. I never want to hurt anybody's feelings. I just want to have some fun on this show.
Right.
So, person involved that I am apologizing to, please know that I am very sorry if you actually got frightened. Terribly sorry. And
do you not say the person's name?
No, I do not. First of all,
really?
I've never known this person's name.
Mm.
I don't know who this person is.
When I was forced to apologize to many members of the LAPD, but especially one lead detective guy who worked on the Heidi Fleiss case, I had to keep using his name over and over again. And the apology got kind of screwed up because I had to keep saying, not a raging homo who wears a flirty handful of chiffon and tucks his junk between his legs and dances in front of the mirror. And then I would say the guy's name again, and then I'd say something. I would say not again, and then something horribly insulting. That's the way they wanted me to do it, which is not the way to go about having someone apologize.
And I would like to say that Mr. Perez was wearing a suit and tie and could not have looked more manly and quite handsome, I might add.
Very good looking, I'm sure. Yes. Now, this person to whom you're giving an apology.
By the way, the apology part, dead serious. Got to keep making that clear.
You're dead serious.
There's no jokes here. But the thing is, I didn't need Mr. Perez or the cops or anyone to tell me to apologize had I known I hurt anybody's feelings.
Mm-hmm.
I always apologize if I hurt anybody's feelings. If I make a big-ass statement of any kind and I think it's funny, I make fun of a kid in a wheelchair, right? And we all laugh, but one kid's mom says, you know, my son's in a wheelchair and that's not funny. Boom. I'm sorry, lady. I never meant to hurt your feelings. It cost me nothing to apologize if I hurt you.
All right. So
to this person, I am truly, truly apologetic.
So, and have no intention of going to their house in a Sherman tank?
Well, first of all, I don't have no idea who they are, where they live, or what they do. Oh, no, I know what they do. I just don't know where they do it.
Right. All right. So, bottom line
actually,
is,
I threatened to use a tool. So how, if anybody can tell you how veiled a threat that is, what tool is it that you think I actually know how it works?
Bedazzler.
I threatened to bedazzle their clothes. No, I said something crazy like I always do, and they actually took it seriously and got scared.
I hope that this will give this person some solace and that they can move forward. forward, knowing that you aren't going to show up in your Sherman tank.
Okay, you right. might just want to be quiet because your name came up a lot.
Yeah.
Okay.
Basically, someone talked a little smack about Teresa. Danny stepped up and talked a little smack about the person that talked a little smack about Teresa.
Let's all move forward.
And it spun out of control.
Yeah, but Danny smack, you know, if you actually took the kind of thing I say literally... Remember when that religious lady picketed people that were in Iraq and got killed, and she would picket their funeral?
Yeah, Shirley Felt.
Right. I said, I'll come over to your house and hit you in the head with a bat, lady. If people took all the stuff I say seriously, this is going to be a really quiet radio show.
Right.
Right.
Well, now John's going to call in and say, great idea. but it's just one of the things I say on the radio, and I certainly meant you no harm. So please go about whatever it is you do. And no need to look over your shoulder or anything like that. And please feel free to continue to listen to the show. It's a damn good show.
Right.
She's our biggest fan.
All right. Let's take ourselves a break. Be back to wrap things up next. Well, just enough time for a plug or two. Dooch Man?
Yep, I've got Comic-Con coming up in San Diego. I'm going with a guy named Josh Schwarzenberger. Mm. It completely rocks. We're going to check out all the new NBC shows, including the new Bionic Woman, which I think is great. Chuck, and you can always check these out, by the way, on NBC.com. Chuck's a computer nerd who ends up with too many government secrets, and so on and so forth. We're going to go down there. We're going to stay after the panel, talk to the celebrities. It's going to be bitching. All brought to you by NBC and, of course, 97.1 Free FM.
And I want to thank Kenny Mayne for coming on the show. Kenny Mayne is writingabook.com. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying mahalo. Why don't you just move a block away and shut up?